Tonight's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games.
No. Ladies and gentlemen. For what?
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
Alright. What is up, you dirty cocksuckers? I'm Kevin Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And I'm Raging Gumby.
And I'm Tristan Gregson, and tonight on Heavy Meta, we don't need no bullet points. It's Rise of the Zendikar, Battling Town, whatever set release weekend. So you're listening to this, hopefully, after you've already pre-released, already have the cards in your hands, and have all of the precious details. We do not. So instead, we'll sit here and bitch and moan like we know what the fuck's going on in this format. But I don't want to sound pessimistic about that. We've got Maddie back on the cast this week to fill that role. I'm excited about this set. How about you guys?
Hey, man, first of all, you should be listening to this cast Friday, because I will have it out Friday morning.
Pre-release. Are you going to be at their midnight pre-releases and all that
stuff?
Right. They're going to be...
I'm excited. I know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be at the best game store in the universe, fucking pre-releasing
my ass off.
Holy
shit, you're
going
to go to Mox Cafe? That's awesome. I had no idea.
No.
Please, you got to say the best store in Canada. Let's be honest here.
I'm going to Face-to-Face Toronto. As usual, it's the pre-release routine, so I will be there battling all day Saturday late into the night. Looks like it's going to be some fun times. I don't know, man. I'm excited. The limited set looks really interesting, so that part I'm really excited about.
And well, you know, again, you're kind of 1 week behind us on the show. Is there anything that super jumps out at you that you didn't get a chance to squawk about?
No, I mean, I think the Eldrazi Annihilator guy, which is like, why the fuck didn't you just put Annihilator on it? That guy's crazy in limited. It's like, oh, well, there you go. I have a wink on. Don't need anything else. That guy's nuts. Other than that, I just want to play, like, there's so many different strategies, and pre-release is the best, because the games should be non-competitive enough, just a notch down, where you can try, like, more obscure, fun-looking combinations of cards and stuff, so. Looks exciting. I don't know if I'll be allies.
I'm excited.
Depends on what I open.
Some of you guys have also been brewing on the beta, is that not correct?
That is. The beta has been, I think it was last Friday they released it, but I got on the weekend. Every once in a while I've had a chance to jump on and brew a couple decks, had a chance to do some of the beta drafts. But as you know, I know I've said it a few times, but drafting like or sealed or whatever on the beta is the worst, because they just put like a random assortment of fucking... Magic Histories cards. So if you get the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you get, like, really, like, fucking aggro-aggressive people that just... They, you know, like, I played this one guy, he got Blood Moon. So I was like, well, turn 3 Blood Moon, okay, you win. Like, there's no testing the cards, man. Like, I got to cast a Kozilek's Predator, or Kozilek's whatever the fucking card. I didn't even know what it was. I was like, that's it. Game over. All right, good games. And let's go. Game two, you know?
That's a pretty unfortunate set of circumstances. Just to kind of give people a little bit more of a heads up on the situation, instead of giving the people that are involved in the MTGO beta a huge leg up on the rest of us, especially, you know, for pre-release weekend, when you go to do a booster draft on MTGO with those new cards, there it's kind of what, like a 50-50 split? What's the kind of split between cards that are actually from Battle for Zendikar and then
They've changed it. I've noticed that they've changed it slowly for each set. Some sets, like Cons, I found there was a lot more cards, because I guess they wanted to test the certain interactions, but for this one, there's a lot of Eldrazi cards. I mean, I don't know. I only did like 10 drafts or sealed pools, so I don't know like if it is like that, but it feels like the certain like older cards were really powerful, like absurd cards, like that that one card, you just, it warps the entire deck you're going to build. So, I don't know. And the other problem is they have tons of Vivid Lands. Like, in the, my one sealed pool, I had 9 Vivid Lands. 9 Vivid Lands. Like, I could just play whatever I want. I could just play 5 color awesome bombs. So, it's not so much about, like, getting an idea of what that sealed environment's gonna feel like, cause you really don't. Unless you, like, if I was brewing, like, me and Kevy were on, we're like, okay, we're only allowed to brew with the cards in the set. Like, just ignore anything else. Because then it's actually fun when you're playing against the person, cause you get a more realistic experience. But, the real jam is when you get to brew in standard and jump into the tournament room, cause they give you a 4-time of, I think it's standard? Yeah, I think they give you all the cards. Yeah, to brew with, so that's pretty fun. So many infinite options. That's like my favorite thing to do is just get in there and start seeing what plays with what. So that was pretty cool. I played against a ton of people that were on there trying out various decks. I brewed up, the one I was trying to brew, which I thought was very interesting, was reminiscent of the, Aristocrat deck. What was it? What's that black card? The vampire guy? Was it Blood?
Cartel Aristocrat? The black-white one? Or are you talking about a new card?
Oh, what is
Falcon Wrath Aristocrat?
No. The one in a black guy that when the creature dies, ping drain.
Blood Artist.
There you go. Blood Artist. Right. So there's the cutthroat guy, and there's a few other cards. There's a weird synergy where when you gain life, they trigger like a drain of your opponent. And there's a cutthroat when your creatures die, does the same thing. So there's an interesting, like, black-white ally drain gain kind of play within the deck that looked really interesting. I only have, like, a couple hours, so I probably didn't find out what the optimal, like, way to do it or if it was even pointless to do it. But the real reason I wanted to try the deck is because Gideon and Sorin are fucking absurd. First of all, Gideon is absurd card. That card is crazy. If not, I thought I would never say this, and now David will hang himself, but the ally, the Gideon ally, man, he's the best Gideon
Knock
ever
it off.
I'm telling you, he's the best Gideon ever played. He's so good. That card,
stop.
That card, you just drop
stop it.
I know.
Yeah, you stop now.
I was the one that was skeptical.
Shut your whore ass mouth.
I don't want to play ally.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
Dude, I don't want to play ally.
You are the ones.
I don't want to, but Gideon by himself is so good, it doesn't matter. And so, like, Gideon and Sorin with the ability to do the anthem. Wow, anything that makes tokens, like I was brewing around with the black-white, and then I was going to Mardu colors, and I just ended up on some, like, amazing Planeswalker Mardu control deck, where, holy shit, man, Gideon, Sorin, Crackling Doom, there's shit there. That is fun times, man. That is fun times. But the only one thing I noticed that a few of the people on the beta, you know, as we're all trying decks, one or two people were just playing straight up Abzan, you know, like hardcore decks to just see, because you don't really want to play brew against brew all the time. You want to, like, is this deck really good? Like, let's just battle. And so there was a couple guys that were just doing that role, and they would just annihilate people. And maybe it's because you're unfamiliar with interactions, you don't know what this brew is actually capable of because it's your, like, first time piloting it. But it felt most of the time that you ended up where you were taking a current deck and maybe replacing 3 to 5 cards with some of the newer cards, and then that felt like it performed really well. So, the power level for standard to me feels like a little low, I don't know, it we'll see when rotations and the new way sets rotate, if things will improve.
I mean, you said you didn't do that many sealeds, but you've been hanging out on there a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
What have you really played against in terms of decks?
So, I've played against there's several really interesting decks that I'm not going to talk about all the brew stupid decks that were just jokes, but the real decks that I've played against I think have legitimate shots. There's an Eldrazi aggro deck, which is essentially a colorless aggro deck, and Marcel spoke about it earlier. And it's kind of similar to that. Hangerback Walker is basically in every deck, just so you know. That plays in anything. Yeah, that deck is nuts. That card is just fucking broken. But there's like an aggro deck where it's just colorless aggro playing off that thing. There is a Bant Walker list that was really interesting. But most of the things that I was that I thought was really good were just value decks. Like, I'm going to play four color, awesome shit. And, you know, like, shit, I'm playing, like, Abzan colors, but splashing for Crackling Doom. And it's so easy to do that. Like, you just can't believe that you could play four or five colors. Like, you could play an Abzan deck and just splash for four lands and have five color deck when you want it for those cards. It's, the lands are stupid. That, and the one breakout card that, of all the cards I saw, Shambling, what is the white black dual land Shambling Vent?
Shambling Vent?
That card was everywhere. And that card is a fucking game changer. That card, even in the decks I was playing it in, you're just like, okay, just keep killing the board, get the vent online, boom, start swinging back. And you're coming back, man, life gain. It was very powerful. Very powerful card.
So despite the fact that kind of it was universally panned during previews, that card is getting the job done, it would sound like. And it makes sense to me. I mean, I already feel like with the loss of the temples from the Abzan shell, and we were talking about this during our preamble, that, you know, regardless of what's really been out there, you can't beat the efficiency of Siege Rhino in Standard regardless. So
it's a good card.
That card itself may be enough to keep whatever resembles Abzan in the environment come, you know, another week and a half from now. And I think that is a real threat. But losing two important temples, not getting the enemy fetch lands or that, you know, you're not getting a full complement of enemy lands. All we got was more allied lands. The black-white man land was going to be critical to the success of the mana base of the Abzan deck. And it also appears to be doing work beyond just being said color.
It is a closer like you've never seen. It was a card that you know it's on the board, and you're dealing with other threats, but you know that you have to have an answer for that fucking card. Because you know it's going to close the game out. It reminds me a lot of Celestial Colonnade when it was in Standard, where you'd be battling through Squadron Hawks and frickin' all this other shit, and then you'd be out of gas, and then it's like, time to go to the air, boys, and you just get killed by a man land. I feel it's exactly the same. But the one thing I did want to touch on real quickly is we all on the beta, all of our testers, we all realized very quickly that Dragons is extremely powerful. A lot of the, like, I would not be surprised at all to see the first couple of weeks, most of the Standard decks that start to, you know, hit top 8 are Dragon-based decks. As for Dragons, it's still extremely strong. Anything, like, 4-color Dragons is real. Like, the dragon cards are very powerful. Very powerful.
Definitely on paper, in theory crafting. I guess no physical paper was used to determine this outcome. But it felt like that the mana base of the Esper Dragons deck is the only one that improved with this changeover, since we're getting two more, or eight more, effectively, dual lands that can be fetched by your already allied fetch land. So a 3-color combination that's connected by an allied color gets a huge boost here. So, you know, think of your shards from Shards of Alara era. Those color combinations are actually getting a huge boost, having effectively fetch lands that can get dual lands. So already taken in conjunction the fact that you have the great Tribute to Hunger S card and the Counterspell S card from Dragons, I assumed, and the players I play with, assumed that shell or that archetype would be a contender moving forward. And it sounds like you're seeing similar results, although I'm also more interested to know what other kind of shenanigans you can get into. I'd like to see another Flores-esque 5-color Dragons deck somewhere in the future, because that archetype looked really fun.
I guarantee, never played it. Guarantee you that there's a 5-color deck. There's multiple 5-color decks.
And so the decks you've played against, what is the glue that are keeping those things together?
The mana bases. I think the mana bases are just absurdly good. Like, absurd. It's like Modern. You're just like, well, I'm going to go fetch for a dual land. That is so powerful. It's insane. Like, ugh, I'm just blown away. And also, what I did think was going to be bullshit, the Awaken Wrath, when you're like, yeah, that's bullshit. That is so not bullshit. That card is. I got destroyed because a guy awakened his Shambling Vents. And it's like,
so
well.
So it's a little bit better than Crux of Fate, you'd say?
It depends on how many dragons are being played, right?
I don't know. I was going for an answer there I didn't get. It feels like it's definitely going to be better, is what I'm getting.
I mean, I don't know, maybe. The cards that we were all trying to, like, we're actually, a lot of us were very impressed, and we think that the retreat cycle is going to be very reminiscent of the siege cycle, where at first everyone lambasted the sieges and were like, those are fucking bullshit. The retreats are bonkers. They're cheaper sieges. They're fucking awesome, man. The green siege, I got decimated by a guy playing a complete laugh deck. Hardened scales, the green retreat, that undergrowth champion guy, and a bunch of other like shit that you're like, no way, man, come on. And boo, dude, that guy was hitting you for 8-8 on turn 5. Like, what? It was really awesome. That was really interesting. The other one that is, I think that there's a deck here, I'm not sure. There is like, it reminds me of the first Zendikar red-white landfall deck, but not as aggressive, which is, now there's like a green-red one, so you got the Swift Spear, you got that Scythe Leopard, what is that, Makati thing, the Beast Trample, he gets 1-1, he's a 2-1. Then you got the Retreat. Now, Kevy, you're gonna love this, because I think this deck is very interesting. Artakus Command, right? You could drop a fucking land at instant speed. That thing is awesome. That is, when you get a retreat out, it's like, your opponent's like, wait, what happened? Oh yeah, there's like 12 triggers in the stack. Hold on, let me resolve these all, you know? So that deck is...
Yeah, it actually makes a lot of sense.
Oh, that deck is so much fun. Another card that we all blasted with that dumb Firebird, that mythic piece of shit that we're like, ah, another fucking Phoenix. I hate this card, and I don't want to play it. But that card's not bad, man. It actually does come back, man. It is, ugh, I hate it. I think it's slow and stupid, but that card's not bad. That card is not bad. It kind of impressed me, so. Yeah, that was one that I was kind of interested in. Yeah, the retreats, though, like, they're fun as shit, man. And the card that I love that we didn't get enough time to test, and I know a lot of people wanted me to do it, was the Goblin guy that... gives your team whatever he gets.
Zada.
Hada or Zada. That guy, there was a few people brewing with it, and it seems like if we had a God's Willing spell, I think that guy would be absurd, but we don't.
I forget what his God's Willing do.
Protection, right? It's an instant response when they go to kill it. So, like, the problem with that deck is, like, all right, let's go become immense, and they're like, ultimate price.
Don't you have the indestructible one still?
There's also exile effects and shit. I don't know. Anyways, I mean, there's a lot of fucking cards.
There is cards.
The one thing that we all were dying laughing is there was one guy that wouldn't give up on the Eldrazi full on Vorthos deck where he's the Eldrazi. He is going to processor you. He is going to devoid your ass. Yeah. And he is brewing like a 3-color like teamer Eldrazi deck. And he never once got Ulamog on the battlefield. So.
That sucks.
I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. Maybe it was. I think it's just too much. Knowing that your opponent wants a card in exile, it's kind of easy to not do that unless you're playing Delve. Then it's funny, right? Yeah. So, okay. Oh, you just Delve for Tasker? Awesome. Now all my shit's live.
Right.
So, I don't know. That was interesting. I'm excited to play Sealed. I think it's going to be fun. I hope I get to see a couple people crack some expeditions, see what these fuckers are actually look like in real life. Because, I don't know if you guys have seen the ones that Les is doing, the full set of the full art ones that we like. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. They're fucking gorgeous.
What? Wow. That's gorgeous.
I'm excited to go to the fucking pre-release. I still am like, I haven't made it down to go see if there's any room left to sign up. Oh, I was thinking about just calling them today, and then I forgot. But
come on.
Did you?
I mean, well, I feel like this. Like, every other pre-release, like, the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 pre-releases I've played in, I've, like, signed up day of, and they're like, oh, well, you gotta put your name on the back of the sheet because it's, you know, it's full. Like, the sign-up sheet's full, but I always end up being able to play. But I could see this being one of those sets that, you know, like, it drives out a lot of people to go to the pre-release because it's fucking Zendikar coming back, so hopefully I'm not too late. Maybe I just need to fucking call them tomorrow and say, hey, put me on the list.
My LGS is almost full, and I don't think there has been an event yet that I've gone to there that has filled up. So I'm guessing that, I don't know. I mean, maybe you could get David to do it for you if you're going to be a little bitch like this.
I got to do is just fucking call him. Like, I just,
which
I,
makes
I,
it all the more embarrassing you haven't. Come on now.
Well, I didn't think about it till like today, and I was like, oh shit, that's like fucking coming up. Like, that's this weekend? Oh shit. And so I got like busy at work today, so I didn't get a chance to, and then came home podcasting, all that. So, and besides, they close at like fucking 6 o'clock.
Oh, man, you got to play this one. This will be where it's not tainted.
Yeah.
this will be where it's fun.
What the fuck does that mean?
Because you know it's going to be tainted later as like everybody's cracking for value and then shit's worth nothing and people are going to bitch. This will be the first time it's like, ooh, look, fun.
It's been a long time since I've played one where it's just like, here's PAX, fucking go. Like, not like, what promo are you going to try to get or what color are you going into? It's just like, here's your PAX, play.
That is a welcome change. I'm glad you brought that up.
Absolutely.
I kind of feel bummed out that I'm like, ooh, what colors am I going to play? And then everyone's like, you don't get to choose. I'm like, oh.
I think for me, I like it because the only time I ever play sealed is at a fucking pre-release event. And so I'm sure people that are like play sealed a little more often, like they're used to that experience because that's what normal sealed is. And then the pre-release comes around and you get the fucking, you know, the color allies, whatever's going on, you know, like if it's a wedge or if it's fucking a, you know, color pairing or just a single color. Like, but I don't think I've ever, like the last time I played a sealed tournament that wasn't run like that, like since the boxes was what, like Avacyn Restored?
Yeah.
And that was a long fucking time ago.
Has it really been that long? Wow, I think it has. Because the guild boxes in Ravnica came back.
Yep.
And that, yeah. All the more reason for people to get out there. You know, I'm very interested to see how it goes. Because you're going to get, actually, Face-to-Face Games and KYT have posted some photos of what the actual deck boxes look like for this event. They're not
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, they're not, you know, super hardcore going to last the rest of your lives. But they're also not super flimsy plastic or cardboard that they used to give away as ancillary products at these events. So that looks sweet. Inside, you've got a random rare mythic. Once again, hopefully increasing our chances as collectors to get a little more value out of
mythic?
Those periods.
No, it's one random of any card in the set. It's not a mythic.
Rare or mythic.
No, is it rare or mythic? I thought it was
anything. It's rare or mythic.
All right. Well.
So now you got a chance to get a pre-release stamped foil planeswalker. How sweet is that? Actually, I guess you could do that on the last set as well. So
yeah, man,
still, it's pretty sweet. You know, I like the not knowing. It was fun for a couple sets where you knew,
The guilds were the funnest. I agree. The guilds and the cons, that was kind of cool. I like that.
And then they went to that thing where it was just like, well, it could be any one of the fucking rares in that color. Now it's just like, it could be fucking whatever, you know.
You got to mix it up. I'm looking forward to it. This will be fun. This will be a good time.
I want to see who gets the fucking stamped expedition fucking the pre-release stamped expedition fucking.
There will be none. The expeditions are not in the pre-release.
They gotta at least be in the pre-release pack.
Yeah,
though, right?
Yes, but they won't be.
Yeah, but not. They're not gonna give you a fucking promo.
No, that would be fucking epic. Oh my god.
That'd be a one on the planet sort of thing. Like, you know, and who knows? Maybe they haven't told us yet, and they're just going to do that. Like, there's gonna be one kid on the planet.
That'd be good.
With a stamped foil expedition, fucking whatever, and then we could see if that'll sell for more than the Tarmogoyf from Vegas.
Some guy opens the pre-release box, just all expeditions. What? The all expedition box?
Yeah, here's your box.
I guess I can't win with this deck. It doesn't matter. I just bought a car.
I just kick tables over and stuff. Oh, look what I got, motherfuckers!
This is going to be good. This is going to be awesome. Did anyone get a chance to watch the awesome Community Cup?
No.
Unfortunately, the only part I tuned in for was the 2 hours where four people talked at the camera, which was pretty unfortunate. I was hoping there'd be some actual Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
But I was horribly wrong.
Yeah, I don't want to be negative, but that was the worst Community Cup coverage I've ever seen.
I don't want to be negative, but like the worst ever.
It was bad, all signs point
to the contrary. Apparently, according to Graham, this was their highest feud. They blew their numbers out of the water on any previous year. It was the most well-received from the participants. I think we've done two things this year. One, we've completely murdered the idea of this being a competitive event. It is very much a casual event.
Which is fine.
Okay. I'm not saying it's not fine.
It's like an exhibition game, basically, right? Like how fucking professional sports leagues and shit will have, like, expedition game. Or, God damn it.
How much have you drunk already?
I've got expedition stuck in my head. Fucking exhibition, God damn it. Not expedition games.
I want to play an expedition match.
Yeah, I would too. That'd be fucking sweet. Just all the expedition cards and just build a pool out of it.
Nothing is more, you know, clear about that being the case than the fact that they had to do these Iron Root Chef things where if somebody won a match, it was 3 points. But if they built their deck full of flavor judge flavor, they got 5 points. Well, now they like exaggerated the scoring hardcore.
Oh, yeah. It's just a way so that they can make sure the community wins.
That's all. And it's a pile of garbage, but it's flavorful.
That is frustrating from the I came here to watch Magic perspective of the event. But if you didn't come there to watch Magic, then who really gives a shit, right? Like, you just want to see fun people do fun things in a fun place.
And that's fine.
It is fine. At that point, fucking change who's commentating.
I agree.
You got Marcel there who's like, I don't understand. I don't understand.
Yeah.
We need somebody to get on the floor and explain this to me because I do not know what's going on. We're not sure why they made that play or why they're not attacking.
They should have had some of the Vorthos guys fucking, like, the big Vorthos guys, like Mike, fucking sit in there and just be, and have them come fucking in full costume, like, fucking some, have Sprinkle hook them up with costumes, and fucking, they could be fucking, or just dress them up like chefs.
Yes.
And have them come in and talk fucking play.
Now, usually when you talk like this, it sounds ridiculous, but that actually sounds like a spectacular idea for this event.
I love it because it is
so ludicrous.
Yeah, the more ludicrous you make it, the better it is. The one thing, though, that I guess I didn't like is everyone tuned in to see Battle for Zendikar, which I believe is the strongest point of watching the Community Cup, is to see the new set before everyone else. That's my opinion. My opinion, because I want to see the new cards. I want to see how it interacts.
It's like you don't even care about the people playing.
I'll be perfectly honest. I didn't give a flying fuck about a single one of them. I didn't know who they were. I didn't care. I didn't give a shit at all.
Did you meet a couple of them in Vegas?
I guess I probably did.
At the house when Jimmy Wong showed up.
Jimmy Wong is cool, but other than that,
the girls there too.
Yeah, they were probably cool. I don't know. I mean, it was just like watching. I don't know. I don't know if that was necessarily the way. The Iron Root stuff was dragged out for me and overtly.
It was
sold.
Like most of a day.
Yeah.
It was like the one time I was like, "Oh, none of these football games are interesting. Let's see what's going on in the Community Cup." Oh. It's people talking about the flavor of a Sphinx for an hour.
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay.
I don't know. The one thing I did take away, though, was when I watched most of the decks being built with Battle for Zendikar, a lot of people were going like the straight black-red aggressive route, which, God, I think like four of the matches I watched were that. So I was trying to gain insight for like how I would play the pre-release. That's why I was watching it.
I mean, in the defense of what you're looking for, wasn't half the events Battle for Zendikar?
Yeah, and maybe that was 10% of the coverage.
Only because I believe you didn't have to write a soliloquy about how you built your sealed deck.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is.
But that whole point aside, like, I want to say that we are for sure killing the MTGO portion of this thing. Like, this thing has morphed completely. It is no longer about people who were MTGO community members trying to help MTGO.
Yeah, they should just call it fucking Magic Super Fun Time and, like, just go with that.
I would watch a half an hour episode a month.
More accurate description. Yes. A Magic Super Fun Time with two Japanese chef guys.
Oh my god. Sato and Mike Linneman, and it's called Japanese Magic Fun Time?
Yeah, you could do, like, what was that fucking, I know I've talked a bit about it before. It used to be on Spike TV. It was like a Japanese game show that they overdubbed way back in the today.
What was it called?
It's like most extreme challenge or some
elimination
shit like that.
Challenge. Most extreme elimination.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh dude, if they just if they just did that, but with all the magic events and the Iron Root Chef, and oh my god, it would be fucking hilarious.
Okay, there you go. Now I'm excited. Now I want to watch that. But at least
you've labeled it so that people don't tune in thinking they're going to see competitive games, and you don't need people like Marshall in the booth trying to commentate on a competitive game when in reality
nobody knows
no
how to play
clue what's going on and doesn't even have anything other to say other than I don't know what's going on. Like, if you want to take a shot for every time he said that during the Iron Root Chef, you would have been Kevy drunk by the end of that match.
That was the only way to actually get through that coverage, but just saying.
This was the first time where we just had a part of the event that was just literally not on MTGO. They just cracked physical packs of Battle of Zendikar, built sealed decks, and played with them. And it wasn't even like they didn't have the digital objects on MTGO, and this was like the thing they had to do instead. It was just very much like, well, we want to showcase a new product, so here it is.
No. Do you know the sole reason? No, it isn't.
We do away with the MTGO part of this.
Do you want to know? No. Do you want to know the sole reason they did PAX? Is because they had seeded the fucking Hollowed Fountain expedition.
Oh my god. That was the worst possible thing you could
have said. That is 100% true. I will bet all the money. Deep Throat Ninja, fucking MTG, Deep Throat, get in there and tell me I'm right.
Deep Throat Ninja.
Yeah, man, whatever. Deep Throat Ninja.
Let us know.
I'm telling you, dude, that right there, when buddy fucking MTG Doc pulled that right there got everyone on that stream excited to buy shit. That's why it was there, dude. To say, oh my god, look, this is the lottery. He won the golden ticket. Otherwise, crack it on Moto. And it would have been like, ooh, wicked, a foil on Moto. Delete. Delete. Anyways.
I hope you're right, but I very much
you
doubt
hope
it.
I'm right. Dude, it was 100% right. Even what's-his-name was like, ooh, thank God someone pulled the expedition. On camera, he said that. Fucking come on, man.
Well, he's not commentating about matches. What do you expect him to do?
But to say thank God someone pulled it? Did he know?
No.
Anyways.
Conspiracy theory. Yeah, Half-Life 3 confirmed. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
Sure.
Let's do this. All right, well, what else is going on in the world? Because I wasn't here last week. What else is going on in the world of Magic?
Stuff and
yeah,
things.
I mean, oh, GP prices went up again. All right, isn't everyone excited about that?
Again?
Oh, good.
Are you fucking kidding me?
How much are they going to get up to? Fuck.
Atlanta is now $75 to play Constructed.
Constructed? $75 bucks to play Constructed.
Christ.
Holy balls. Wow.
Oh, my God.
You know what? It's going to be $100
bucks. You're doing your best to keep the casuals away, right? Really soon it's going to be the same price to buy a booster box as it would be to play in a GP.
Yeah, but you know what? It's because we build these vents up.
It depends on what fucking booster boxes are coming out, because aren't, like, nobody can get booster boxes of this fucking, Born of the Gods, or God.
Yes, people can get Born of the Gods. Everybody.
Yes, they can get Born of the Gods. Yeah, you can
19
F&M.
Tickets online.
That's F&M prices right there. But, like, fucking Battle for Zendikar boxes, I'm hearing those things are, like, already, like, pre-selling for way more expensive than they should be.
Oh, do you want to hear a horror story? Guess how much they're trying to sell fucking fat packs up here for? $100.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
I've heard that's still Canadian.
Dude,
right?
that's still $75 American.
Yeah, because it's like, they're supposed to be, like, what? Their MSRP is, like, fucking 35, 40 bucks.
$29 American.
It's time to start combing those Target stores, eh, Maddie?
Do they even? I don't even know if they'll be out. Do Fatback get sold at Walmart and shit? Do they?
Yeah. Walmart and Target and all that, they
I'm
sell Fatpaks.
Fuck that.
Like, I was just looking at fucking random shit, because there was something on Twitter the other day, side note, like, that the fucking people were finding the stalking tigers in Walmarts.
Yeah, what the fuck is that? That's a weird repack?
I think it's like, it's like a repack thing or something, but people were finding them. So I took a glance at our fucking Walmart to see what was there. And, of course, you know, there wasn't anything. They don't have any, like, repacks there at our Walmart, or somebody already grabbed them. But, you know, there's fucking, like, there's butt tons of fat packs there, but they're, you know, because nobody buys them, like, from Walmart, really. There's a bunch of fat packs there, but, of course, they're, like, the sets of nobody. There's Origins fat packs, there's Cons fat packs and stuff like that. But I'm just waiting to see, because you get the land pack and you get the full art fucking basics in the land pack for these fat packs that, like,
oh,
this is going to be one of those, like, oh, good, we're, well, they're constantly going to be out of stock at fucking Walmart, and I can't even go buy a fucking fat pack if I want.
I don't remember. I'm trying to think back to when Zendikar was out. I think it was really hard to find them, too, at Walmart. Because they were always being bought out, too. Maybe it'll be the same
fucking thing. It's probably going to be the same. And so, it's like, oh, good, I get to see, like, when they're getting their shipment in, and I'm too lazy to do that shit. Same thing with, like, 22 ammo. I can't buy 22 ammo in town because, like, everybody buys it when the fucking shipment comes in. You go to Walmart and the fucking whole ammo case is cleared out of fucking 22 ammo because people are stockpiling it for some reason.
Life in Ridgecrest because we get to make analogies to trying to buy fat packs as trying to buy ammunition.
Ammunition, right, exactly. I've got the same problem across the board. It's bullshit.
That's fucking awesome right there. Good luck, boys. Good luck at GB Crest. Go armed.
I want to grab fucking a few of those if I can, like a couple fat packs at least.
Oh, just sure.
Just to fill out the lands. And like Daniel and I have talked about like splitting a box because I'm not like Modern Masters, the first one, that was one thing.
But like I'm not big on buying boxes because I don't play enough.
Oh man,
like,
don't buy a box.
We talked about going halvesies on a box, and I'm already like, since we talked about that like 2-3 weeks ago, I'm already going, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that.
Buy a fat pack, don't buy a box.
Yeah, I'm going to buy a couple fat packs and call it a day.
I'm pretty sure from what I'm hearing, yes, the first month, it's going to be expensive, they're going to be hard to find, people jack the prices, and then the second wave of products going to hit, and there will be booster boxes for days. Like, this shit will be fucking $80.
That's the thing. Like, David was talking about, David, you were saying last week, like, you know, because you've been kind of out of things, you've been dealing with personal life, this is, like, the first time you haven't been able to, like, pre-order your product.
I kept meaning to jump on it, but I've been going through so much, like, stupid shit.
Personal stuff, right?
Yeah. I mean, not even just personal, like, you...
Life.
My job and everything, yeah, just life in general.
Life stuff.
Every angle that you could think of, personal, professional, whatever else. So I'm just now like getting out of it. But by the time that I started getting to the point where I was looking into pre-ordering some cards, the prices had already, you know, gone up. And the place where I normally did it, they had zero available to pre-order. So I still have not purchased any of this new set, which is sad because I really would have liked to, but it is what it is. I still have not been even playing as much Magic as I was before all this shit started. So, we'll see. I'm gonna try and get back into the mix, and I'm gonna look at the set in depth when I get a chance, so I can start brewing. And I'll probably just have to buy singles or borrow cards, which is new for me. So, we'll see
how
it goes.
I'm sure you could probably pull that off, no problem. Like, you've done enough lending that you could probably tell some people, like, oh, hey, man, time to pay the fucking piper. I'm borrowing a place out of there.
Nice.
You've done enough of that you could probably just walk in, like, during somebody's match at FNM and be like, oh, yeah, I need the place out of those. Yeah, just grab the one that's on the battlefield and then dig through their deck real quick to grab the other four and be like, yeah. Yeah, I'm borrowing these, and then go sit down and play your own match.
Okay. Okie dokie.
Yeah, everybody owes David enough that, like, he could do that shit to me, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, fair enough.
I concede.
Just extend the hand and just concede the fucking match and be like, right on, man. Yeah.
I'll be at the bowling alley.
Yeah, I'll be at the bowling alley.
Oh, man. You know, the one thing I know that I did see is we got new Dispel art, which looks amazing. I'm going to try and find one or two in foil. That looks – I love the art of Jace. Like, looks like he's fighting Ugin on it. That looks fun.
Oh, yeah.
That looks like it's going to be – actually, I think there's a lot of cards in here that are going to look fantastic in foil. So, I don't know. Hopefully I've never brought a trade binder. I wonder if I should just see what I can – bring. Maybe I could trade into some cards.
You know, I always bring mine, and then I never do anything with it. So, I mean, you know, I'm also a corner case scenario on pretty much everything.
Are you guys just dead to Puka Trade? Do you remember when that was, like, the hottest thing ever?
Oh, man, Puka Trade. I love Puka Trade. It's great. I have nothing.
Too lazy to use it. Like, I'm also too lazy.
It's true, dude. I can't. Do you know that I want to brew a deck, and then I go and I look at all my cards that are unsorted, and I just close the door on my little shelf. I'm like, fuck, I don't want to do this no more. Like, it's an insta kill. Like, I just go to MTGO. I'm like, I can brew this in 5 seconds. I want to pay a fucking, like, butler or something to be like, okay, this is the deck I want. Go look through the fucking cards and build it for me. Because I. Oh my god, I know. You know what the worst is? I know.
Your ass.
Yeah, like, I know I have to have a Grim Lavamancer or two because I redeemed the fucking set and I can't find them anywhere and I'm just like, fuck, I know I'm gonna go Saturday to Face and just buy a $10 fucking Grim Lavamancer because I'm too fucking lazy to look through the cards.
You know how awesome it would have been to, like, be a kid and instead of having to, like, mow the lawn one day, my dad came to me and he's like, look, I'll pay you to sort my cards. I don't have enough time for this.
That's not a bad
idea.
Find
me my Grim Lavamancer, put everything in order.
But you know what? I swear there's, like, goblins that, like paper goblins and shit, because I know I've had cards that I can't find anymore. I don't know who's, like, no one would touch them. I have no idea where they go.
That's how people need to get on top of the system. You know, we always talk about, like, oh, you know, you want to take care of the younger generation of fucking Magic players, you know? Like, the newer kids at the shop and everything, you know, we talk about, like, what you give them your fucking draft commons and shit like that and just let them go and fucking play. You know, you give them, you give people shit, you know, like younger players that maybe can't afford it or whatever, you give them fucking those cards that might be worth a little bit, but they're not that big of a deal to you, so you just kind of give them to them. You know, we've all done a lot of that because we care about this community. That's the way we need to start exploiting this shit, like fucking, you know, like sweatshop labor. We just start telling these kids, be like, I'll tell you what, here's a playset of fucking this Planeswalker. You need to go through and sort all of my cards for me.
I would,
and
man.
They get experience. They get job experience in sorting cards. You know they're going to end up working at the LGS anyway. They get job experience sorting cards. They fucking go through your collection. They fucking get everything organized for you that you don't have time for.
Steal
you
after
just
shit.
Fire them off a couple of fucking. Well, yeah, as
sorry,
I'm talking,
I didn't find anything.
Like, oh, wait,
didn't find anything.
Yeah.
You're all good.
Yeah, man.
Didn't I have jewelers?
Oh, nah, oh, yeah. But hey, by the way, do you want to buy some of these dual lands? I noticed you didn't have any.
Yeah, exactly, right? Oh, speaking of dual lands, when did Blackleaves Cliffs or whatever that thing get to $20 fucking, man? Oh my god,
Black Fastland?
Yeah, the Black and Red Fastland? Holy fuck, I was...
That's 20 bucks now?
That's 20 fucking bucks, dude.
Fuck yeah.
And
I didn't know that shit went up either. I've got a few of those that I don't
use. Yeah, this is crazy. I was trying to... I think I have Grixis completely done now, and I know I had a set of those, because they were worth nothing, and I bought like a set of like Fastlands for like $2, like not, and I know I had them. I looked and looked, and that's when I got frustrated. That's probably why I'm so negative about digging through cards. I was like, I'm sick of this. I guess I don't have them. What? And then I was playing Magic with my kids, and they're playing this like piece of shit deck with no sleeves, and she flips up a black leaf system. I'm like, can I look through that deck for 5 seconds? Oh my god, what are they doing in here? And they're like, oh, Daddy, you said these were worthless, so we could play them, like 2 years ago.
I was curious, like, what they were in, because, like, I don't really use them, and I play red-black in modern shit, but yeah, they're in Jund, Living End, Grixis Twin, Grixis Control, Lantern Control,
yep.
Groyo's Animator, and a different Living End.
Actually, a lot of the Scars lands are gaining, like, steam. As you know, you want to play those aggressive decks to hit your drops. They're good, man. I think the window's over.
They're
already through the roof. That and what it night.
Well, I'm kind of stoked because I don't use them in fucking. Well,
there you go.
Like, ever do I use them? And I got a few.
You just upgraded, bro.
And no, but see, this is the problem. Every time a card like that spikes and goes crazy, I'm like, oh yeah, I should get on that. I don't use it anymore. I could trade that off for shit that I want to use. And then by the time I actually get around to doing it or even thinking about doing it, it's already gone back down. Like, I am the worst person for the Magic stock market because I have cards that have fucking gone from $2 to $50 to back to $2 like 4 times.
What's the Chandra you were trying to order? You're trying to order 10 of? The shitty Chandra that duplicates the spell.
I think I ordered.
And you got Jace's. Yeah, you got Jace's
instead, which worked out because that Chandra sucked.
Yeah, that Chandra was fucking ass.
Like most Chandras suck.
Yeah, that's too bad the new one didn't. Maybe it'll find a home in Burn. Maybe there's a Burn deck. Oh, the other one, you know what I'm very curious to see? Like, we got Goblin fucking headbanger, whatever is pile driver, that's it. I'm like, why would they give us that and not give us more goblins? Like, it feels like there's got to be a goblin deck, man. I feel like in Oath of the Gatewatch.
Well, you got that goblin that you were just talking about earlier, fucking the goblin that copies stealth.
Yeah, he's cool. Like, there was definitely Hordling Outburst, him. There's the one mana goblin. It's okay. It's not. Again, it just doesn't have that, like, oomph to get through. But I'm telling you, man, next set, a one drop goblin with landfall, boom. Haste, landfall, 2/2.
Now, like, my question is, like, do you think that they're kind of weird? Like, we all know that, like, Magic, your Wizards, as they're going through and testing and shit like that, there's always going to be cards that kind of fall through the cracks that end up broken. But, like, especially, it seems to me that especially cards that are, like, ally, or not ally-centric, but, like, tribe-centric, they're going to make an extra effort not to make it that blatantly obvious. They're like, oh, hey, we're not going to overpower just goblins. Like, they're not going to give us, like, the sweet, perfect fucking goblin next set to just make goblins take over. Because that kind of diminishes the idea of, like, goblins versus elves versus merfolk versus, you know, like...
Is there a goblin deck, though, in Modern? No. Right?
No, I'm not talking Modern. I'm talking, like, standard? Even fucking Standard.
Yeah, I think,
like,
they would.
You know, like, they're not... I don't think that they would make goblins, especially, you know, if at any point they're not going to do it now after Red's been, like, just so dominant for the last, like, standard season.
I wouldn't say dominant.
Red is always good. They're juicing it. But again, man, when they're developing the set, they have no idea what the standard
is. It's been very unjuiced recently, though. Yeah. You know, we don't have a Lightning Strike anymore,
I know, right? Did that go the age of the fucking one mana elf now? Two mana three is too much? Fuck that.
Jesus Christ, that's fucking gross. If two mana for three is fucking too much, then fuck,
I think so, dude. The more
I will never play.
I had a great conversation last week. Good thing I remembered. And we're talking about, like, the flavors of all these formats, right? And that they have to move standard. They have to lower the power of standard in general and keep it going in that direction enough so that they can print cards. Like, they need to open design space. So, like, Mero was even saying, like, when I was commenting about Path of Exile, I was like, yeah, that was a mistake. Well, if, like, Elves are a mistake, Path of Exile is a mistake, Lightning Bolt, Mana Leak, like, all these cards that Modern is kind of, like, based around are mistakes. Yeah, I think they have to, like, lower the power of Standard, and that's just what Standard will be. Standard will be the slower...
And maybe that's exactly what they're looking for.
Maybe it's not a bad thing.
It's exactly that. Because you know, they want to make an obvious difference between Modern and Standard. And right now, it's just, like, you know, it's theirs. There's definitely a fucking difference. But, like, if you look at the jump from Standard to Modern and then Modern to Legacy, like, there's a huge, drastic fucking difference.
I don't know.
And so, yeah, maybe that's what they're trying to do, is maybe they're just trying to fucking differentiate the formats by a ton. So that it's like, if you're into Modern, fucking play Modern. If you're into Standard, play Standard. If you're into Legacy, play Legacy. If you want to play all of them, fucking play all of them. And then just focus on Standard as, like, their main moneymaker, but really differentiate the formats.
Yeah, I think with design space going, they just have to... You know, they're going to run out going the other direction, make things better and better. So they've got infinite direction making them worse and worse. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Yeah, maybe in 2 years we'll all be saying, hey, man,
you're absolutely
right. You remember that 7 mana cost dragon that was unplayable? That card's sick now. You know, like, who knows, right?
Right, right. Exactly.
I don't know. What does TSG think of that?
Am I the only one who thinks we're in, like, a fucking Murder, She Wrote episode? Like, 5 minutes ago, you were talking about this long, convoluted train about how you might make a trade binder, but it might not be worth it, and you can't find your good Lavamancers, you have to buy it, and then you should have had your kids sort your cards, and then you found your Blackcleave Cliffs in their deck. Like, all the pieces are adding up here, man. I'm sure your kids built a deck with your Grim Lavamancer, and you should just be paying them to sort all your cards so you can put them on Puka Trade, right?
Oh, Puka Trade's such a pain in the ass. I just can't.
Oh, my God.
I can't make
Insert
envelopes.
Clip here of the 2.5 hours that you just gave a giant blowjob to Puka Trade.
I love.
And how much you love them. You guys even have, like, platinum-level accounts to use their service.
No, they got
for life.
No, we got revoked because we don't use them.
Mine's there. I still got a gold.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. You know what it is?
And you know what the fucking terrible part is? It's not about the magic cards. It's not about Puka Train.
Yeah.
My problem is using the mailbox.
Yeah, exactly. Correct. 100%. I agree with Kevy. You know what I did? I ordered a bunch of cards out of Puka Train, but I will never send anyone a card because that's too much fucking work. Dude, I am not doing that. If I could hire Josh... Josh, like, dude, come up, sort my collection, and sell it all for modern shit. Oh my god, I will put you up in the finest hotel for a week to do that. Just do that, because that is just a pain in the ass, man. I can't do that.
That is a more enticing offer than what I'm currently offering him for his labors right now. And if you've been following anything on Twitter from us from the last week, you've seen all of the amazing renders that Josh has done.
Oh my god, I am jealous, like. A motherfucker, dude. I hate to say this, because I normally, you know, we played TSG's Cube for the first time in Portland, and it was a mind-blowing, still to this day, one of the best, you know, just incredible experiences. But seeing these fucking custom, like, dude, you're going to have the only cube in the world. This is it. There's only one. This isn't something you can buy. This is just, there's only one. And every card looks so well-designed and put together, and it's off. Fuck, man. I'm so jealous. I'm fucking so jealous. I think this is going to be
if you got to take the real thing out of circulation, I am very pleased that Josh has been willing to donate so much of his time to put this project together. And again, to everyone out there that is sending him cards, I know earlier this week he was looking at the stack, because we're going to need over 600 washout opal foils for him to be able to finish the process, and he had just over 200 in his possession. So hopefully, I know some people had messaged that I was included in message chains this week about hopefully having enough to cover the rest of the process. But just in case, Josh, if you need more signal boost to get the rest of that stuff, it's going to be awesome. Again, you know, it's entirely on his timeline. I really hope we have it for Vegas in December, but if we don't, I totally understand. Again, this is all stuff he's working on in his free time, and it's been fun to kind of follow along the process and look at the renders that have come out and all the little links in the chain that are creating this thing. And it saves me a lot of headaches in the future. Obviously, you know, if you've been at any events where I've been where we want a cube, and just you know, you probably don't see the kind of struggle that it is to try to let people have the freedom to kind of play with these things, but also kind of rein in you know, because it's just a matter of time,
like,
before something goes.
The Kevies in the group.
Yeah, well, you know, the last time, I mean, no, in Vegas you were totally reasonable. You in Portland was far more entertaining, where it's just like you were almost falling face first drunk into the table.
That was the best.
With like a full beer in hand while also holding cards, where it was kind of like, well, if this is how it ends, at least it'll be a good story.
I'm so proud of you for like letting that happen. Yeah, I do remember you babysitting a little bit. There had to be a little bit of nerves in the back, you know, the back of your brain being like, oh, hey, maybe you should sit down and coach Kevy so that he doesn't go face first into the table with a drink in hand with my cube on the table.
The best part about that was when I showed up at the house, I walked in the door and I was like, hey, where's the cube? And they're like, oh, it's outside. And I'm like, wow, already in my head, I'm like, he's letting them play on the porch with this cube? And then I come outside and I see Kevy draw, like, he's like, I'm drafting red because it's easy to see. And I'm like, I looked at TSG and he's like, yep, I'm letting them draft the cube like that. And I was just like, you're stupid. That is.
I mean, the table we were at was under an overhang. There were playmats everywhere. That wasn't the concern. If anything, it was obviously much more of the drunkenness. It also is, you know, to really encapsulate the story, you have to realize it was like 3 in the afternoon on the first day we were there. Yeah. So
there's also that.
That's true. You guys got the party started quick. Let's just say that. That was good.
But we do.
But no, for me, where, you know, obviously, you know, I don't want to say long dead, but there was a while there where you guys were shouting out Robot every week. I feel like I have to do that for Josh at this point in time, because he is going above and beyond my hopes and expectations for this project. Again, we talked about it a lot as kind of a theft deterrent, as kind of a safety measure, as kind of a general drunken protection plan. And he's really already exceeded all those expectations and made it a lot of fun to look at the different options and renders and how we're going to do things. You know, the next conversation probably to come up is how we're going to tackle double face cards.
Because just don't put them in the queue. There's only one.
You got it. What? That new Jace, man. That new Jace.
Man, they're such a bitch, man. They're thicker. They're so obvious. I don't know.
Yeah, we might be able to. That's what he's talking about, like tackling the situation, like how we end up doing that to make it work.
Maybe maybe a one-sided with like an overlay that you just pull out as a token.
That is possible. Yeah. One-sided where we kind of combined it like an old-school flip card.
Oh, but no, I think you can't. It's unreadable. Don't do that. I'm vetoing that.
You sacrificed some art, which I know is like the one thing in life you care about.
Couldn't you just go as far?
It would be all text. It would be all a planeswalker. It would be all text.
Listen, though. Like, you know, like what they do with like the, what's it called? Like the checklist that they do, like that Wizards does for those, but like not... either you could do a sweet ass looking checklist and have him go fucking crazy with it and have it like marked as that one, or you know, you just do the like you keep the planeswalker side in the fucking like in amongst your
tokens. That's what I'm saying.
And if somebody, and then you just do the one side, you know, of the card that is in the cube to draft, and then you have the other side like off in the tokens, or you know, you just do the checklist and then you have it separate, like just you have the actual card separate.
We'll figure that.
Like
we'll
I said. It'll be fun to discuss in the near future. There aren't a super large number of double face cards in the queue, but
five.
we did just add quite a few of the new planeswalkers. So that is, it's not like we can just be like, we'll make a creative sacrifice here in order to make it work. You kind of need those cards.
Right, fine.
Oh yeah.
We're talking about cube inspirations and people that really helped me personally get into cube. I know we all were pretty shocked last week by the news of hearing that Evan Irwin and Star City Games have parted ways.
Oh, yeah, what the fuck? Thank God. Yeah, that's insane. Crazy. So not only did they, like, what is going on here? So SCG dumped their team. There's no SCG team at the Pro Tours anymore. It's like they're slowly going after all the things they deem as, like, not worth money anymore. And they're killing their...
Wow, that's rude to Evan. I don't think that you can lump him together with that.
To me, I think he's a... I would perfectly pay for the content. I think it's great. I just am saying, like, it feels like they're like, well, this isn't worth it anymore. Get rid of it. No one cares. They're just here to buy cards. And they're getting rid of a lot of, like, what kind of was making SCG come back a bit here for me. Like, when we first started this cast, me and Kevin hated the fuckers. You know? And then they brought Evan Irwin on, like... They did a lot. They made their stream a shit ton better. Their coverage got really good. Now it just feels like they're going in the opposite direction. Like, what's next?
I don't want to speak for Evan or his set of circumstances, but he, I mean, it's not like he didn't start making content as a employee of their business. He was not on their books initially. He started as a contributor. He did something very different. You know, at one point in time, he did write articles. He's tried the whole gamut, but video isn't really stuck for him, and it was the thing that he was a pioneer in. And eventually, he had a full-time job with them. And I think what's interesting to me is that I would expect, after what's almost 10 years of being involved with their website, and what felt like exemplary service all the way, is how you don't do, like, some kind of parting tribute to him as the website. Yeah,
it's
really weird to have it go down kind of so quietly in the night. I mean, it obviously reminds me a lot of what happened to
that
me, although I don't...
Set.
Yeah, it does.
I don't think...
I hope there's no foul play going on and shit, but it just felt like, wow, like, all of a sudden, just like, oh, you know, he's gone.
Well, that's, I guess, my question, because I haven't followed, I saw that happened, and I haven't followed into, or, like, looked into it too much, but, like, do we know if there's any sort of, like, fucking shift in management, ownership, anything like that that's kind of causing all this, or is it just all kind of coming out of the blue?
No news that I've
seen. So you say it's more than just Evan, like, it's just the direction that they're going. I mean, it seemed that, like, you know, SCG was going in more positive direction. Like, they were, you know, coverage was better. They were surpassing GP coverage. They're like, everything all together from them was great. And then now they're like, you know, they have that whole thing with the, basically them getting, well, everybody, but like them getting a Pro Tour invite, like a nod to them. And now, like, all of a sudden, all this shit's changing that seems kind of detrimental to what they've been doing in the last few years.
Doesn't it feel like a general attack on, like, anything that gives value to the community in general? Like, that's the last couple of years. It just seems like that's what, you know, all these little edges keep getting shaved off that people are like, nah, well, that's just for the community. Fuck those guys. And this feels like, oh, man, I would watch Evan Irwin set videos. I hope, Evan, if you're listening, which I, this is a one in a billion shot you actually listen to this shithole, but.
Well, I think it's a little lower than one in a billion. I'm telling you there's a chance.
I don't believe it. Yeah. I don't believe it. I love you, Evan, but.
So you could open a playset of
That is probably mathematically, we'll have to get JR on the math on that, but if we have a spreadsheet, I'm pretty sure it's about that accurate. But like, come on, I would watch his set videos, like the review videos. Oh man, even the Magic Show, like I hope he continues to do that, because. I think he's great at that. I think he's probably the best thing for, you know, Magic, like, new players. Like, I think he is one of the best portals for a new player getting into the game. Like, every new player I've ever, like, what's Magic? I'm like, go watch Evan Irwin. Just go watch his shit. Go watch.
I mean, times have changed, though. He's not the outlet. Oh, no. Like,
there's a bunch of really shitty YouTube guys like MTG Lion and whatever that fucking wedge guy.
Don't even talk.
Look, MTG Lion is fine. I have nothing. I don't hate him or anything. It's just there's a quality level that, I mean, if you can't pronounce the fucking cards, bro, like, come on, dude. Like,
wait, what were you? Yeah, says the guy who said Sato 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Boom!
Palladian is probably a reference to get into.
Do I have a YouTube channel? No. If I did, I would up my game. I'm on this shithole.
If we had a professional editing team, we'd have so many great little inserts in this episode. Man, there'd be so many opportunities for a little heavy meta soundboard.
Oh my god. Anyways, I hope he lands on his feet. I hope he moves on to bigger and better things.
I can't get over the fact that there was no, you know, like, there should be fucking Evan Irwin week on Star City Games.
There,
like,
should be Evan Irwin week.
If they last
best of Magic at shows? All,
they should have definitely given him a send off, because, you know, it's easy for me to see the comparisons and know where they're drawn. Like, that is the face of your business.
Yep.
And knowing what faces of businesses are capable of, and how much traffic they can drive, and what they do for a business. I mean, you just in this conversation, Matty is talking about how his view of their business has changed by letting somebody go that we have no idea what their quality of their work is like. We have no idea if Evan was meeting the standards they were trying to set, were looking to set in the future, what his responsibilities were, and how things were shifting within the business. But already, our interest in their business has dropped off by his face not being associated with it. And I know what power that has, and I'd like to think that for all that he has done for them in, again, almost a decade, starting posting the Magic Show in 2006.
Yeah, but he wasn't working there then. He's only been working there 5 years.
He was a contributor at that time.
Was he?
He posted his stuff to Star City Games. Right. That was what made him different. You know, back in the day, back when Brainburst was the place that you paid for, and Star City Games was the thing.
Oh, you're right.
That was...
That's right. You're right.
Evan, you know, in the string of articles that were written articles posted on Star City Games, Evan would be the standout because he was the video content. He was the only guy.
Yeah, that's right.
So he has been a contributor for them for almost a decade, and to have it kind of, you know, them not make any kind of announcements at all, and him just kind of make a tweet about it is very, very peculiar and very saddening. If there's not,
I mean,
what I feel appropriate.
I mean, I don't. I'm not conspiracy theorying here or anything, but he started a show called Magic Mike's. And Ruben Bresler is part of it, and he got the same kind of kickoff. I don't know. There could be a little.
I don't know if he got the same kind of kickoff.
Well, they kind of dumped him, and he was probably him and Evan. Like, they were great parts of Star City. I loved it. What he was bringing.
But they have very different histories.
Sure.
I mean, Ruben really wasn't there that long.
No.
And Evan is like the fucking teddy bear of fucking Star City Games and Magic the Gathering on the East Coast. Like, that's why it's to me it's very different. Ruben is an entertainer. He's always tried to be an entertainer and use Magic as the outlet. And he was there only what, like, a year and a half?
No, the newsening was there a lot longer than that. Come on.
No. It had like a year and a half run tops. Right,
Ruben, fucking tell me how long it was. I don't remember. I love that show though.
Talk about Matty tweets from last night.
Just
tell me how long it was.
You motherfuckers. I didn't even try for that one. That just came out.
You know, I said it on Twitter over the weekend. I know, you know, many people echoed the sentiment that, you know, Evan has been an inspiration on what I have contributed to the Magic community. I really wanted to be somebody that did video content and try to have that voice. And I was lucky enough to walk a similar path to his for a while. It was very funny. Like one of my, I only hung out with him a couple of times and we didn't really get to play much Magic together. But my best tangential story to Evan was I was on the Magic Cruise playing Magic with Chapin, and it was the first time we'd actually played. We hung out a few times before. So I felt like Patrick knew who I was. Like, he didn't, you know, there weren't assumptions being made. But anyway, we played a match, and I beat him, and it was a good match. And I think, like, we both played Magic well. And it was only after the fact that apparently he had told Luis, he's like, wow, that friend of yours is surprisingly good at Magic. I thought he'd be really bad because I just assumed he was like Evan. And I was like, oh, a lot of us all at once. That's very kind of you, I guess. But we all had a good time. It was very entertaining. And I'm just really glad that I have a very strong lifetime record against Patrick.
Yes.
Hey, you win one. That's it. I retire. That's it. We're all good.
No, we played it four times, but
that's like that's Gumby's record against fucking TSG in his cube. It's like, you know, do it, you know. That's
right. Life-o, man. We got to get the shirt going there.
But yeah, obviously, Evan, you'd like to talk to us, and you're interested in coming on the show. I think that unilaterally, we'd like to have you here to discuss whatever you want to talk about Magic. Talk about the early days of the Magic show. I mean, he did some pretty...
Now that he can't get in trouble from, like, a corporate fucking level, like, he can't get in trouble for being on our show because most people can. Maybe we have a good shot of having him come on and talking with us.
Well, you never know. Face-to-face games at ManaDeprived.com is not exactly diplomatically immune to what the money of Magic the Gathering tells things to do, so... Not necessarily close your magical life.
How awesome would that? We'd have to call that episode the motherfucking Magic Show. That would be the title of that. If Evan ever comes on, just Evan Irwin with a big like censor box over his mouth. Those motherfuckers.
We used to do that shit. Maddie, we need to do that. We used to do that shit back all the time, back when it was like just us. We're like, oh, who are we getting on as a guest this week? Then we'd just start hitting up random Magic celebrities and be like, hey, gonna come be on our podcast. Sometimes it works, sometimes it didn't.
I know. It's fucking good.
Conway came on. Conley came on a couple times. Like, most of them were like, oh, no, I'm not gonna do that. But
we have, the sad thing is we haven't asked any. We barely ask anyone because we're just like, oh, man, cast in an hour? Fuck.
I think there's that, and there's a lot of it too. Is like back when it was just the two of us, like there was a lot of time to fill. Like yes, you and I both can talk a lot, but you know there's a lot of there's time to fill, and we were still newer at this, so we felt like we always had to have a guest. Nowadays, like you know we have four hosts, so if one person's not as talkative, or you know whatever the case may, or if somebody's missing for the night, we still have three people to fucking talk.
That's true.
And you know, so guests, I think that's why guests have kind of dwindled, but we still like having them.
Yeah, we do.
Especially Evan Irwin, that'd be fucking sweet.
That would be a dream guest right there.
Wow. Can I give you that on your dream list? Now the SVU, it's your job to make sure he at least listens to this 20-minute segment so that you could hear about Maddie's dream guest.
Yeah.
Time
How long was it? How long was it, Ruben? Yeah, that's the. That's my dream right there.
Ask him.
Fucking best.
So he doesn't have to be like, oh, good, I get to listen to a 3-hour podcast, and then at some point he's finally going to get to hear his name brought up. Like, yeah, timestamp that shit if you're going to send him to the podcast. Yes.
Well, we're only an hour and change in. It's not, we haven't gotten to the debauchery part of the night yet.
This will be the episode with the 20-minute intro. The pre-intro. You know what? It's all good. It's all good.
It's all
good. Here's just an out-of-the-box question. What do you think he's going to do? Could you imagine if Channel Fireball bought him up? What?
No, it's not going to happen. He's not relocating. He's got a bunch of kids. I mean, granted, talk about a company that could really use their video game to be stepped up quite a bit, but I don't think that they're going to go there.
Yeah, he'd probably conflict with Mashi.
Yeah, well, let's not start that.
I don't know enough about the guy. Like, I don't know what he's got going on in life. Like, is this like his primary source of income? Is fucking Star City?
I mean, he's definitely a professional magician in the grander sense of the word. I know Evans. He's set down roots. He's got kids. They're doing stuff. He's not exactly like looking to relocate, I think, but, you know.
Oh, no, not even relocation. Like, you know, whether he's doing, content for another site where he can just stay where he's at and do content for another site, or if, like, maybe the dude's just all, yeah, you know what, I'm an electrician now. I didn't tell you guys, but I'm an electrician.
Well,
I don't have time. I don't have time to go and do this shit.
His background's in IT, so he can probably bounce back into something else and make good cash, so.
I have no idea what the industry is in northern or whether Western Virginia or whatever. Again, when he comes on, we'll discuss all of the amazing things that
you're so positive. You're just like, well, when he comes on, we'll talk about that. I love it. Nice.
I mean, at this point, we pretty much locked it in. You don't talk about your dream guest and then have them snub you.
Oh, yeah? Well, Mark Rosewater fucking snubbed me 3 times. We tried to get that fucking guy on. Oh, yeah. We give up.
I remember that.
Yeah, dude, we've tried to get him on now 3 times. The last time...
You gotta go to the right people.
I filled out all the forms. I filled out all the freaking questionnaire. I got through the first level of bureaucracy bullshit twice. And then...
They know damn good well. They're WOTC employees. No, we can't even get Helene on here, and she loves them.
No, Helene will come on. She's fine. It's scheduling. The problem is, I've submitted all the questions, all the fake. I made up all kinds of fake, like really easy, juicy, you know, home run, you know, t-ball questions, and they.
Well, then you go and you say shit like
no,
this.
No, well, they don't care because the problem is, they're like, can you show? Can you send us a 30-second clip of the podcast so we can listen to it? And I was like, fuck. So I was like, well, and a couple times I was like, listen to this time mark. So obviously they probably started at the beginning of the episode and they're like,
that's where you got to just take like where David's talking about fucking crushing a standard tournament.
I know,
and
I
just
know.
Take that clip, just take it as a clip and send it that to him. And
see, we
like,
can
oh,
make, we can make 30 seconds good. Right now. I love Friday Night Magic. I try to go every week. It's a great experience. I highly recommend everyone to get out there. It's an educational.
Does this thing
area.
On the end of my dick look infected to you?
See, that's now we know why I like Mark Rosewater on
no,
the show.
The real reason is because we accidentally sent him the last 10 minutes of the episode where Aaron Campbell was on, and we had the comic book of the Foreskin Man.
Oh,
I think
God.
That was the reason why we got banned.
Captain Foreskin.
Yeah, that was, I think, you know why? Because that was the week that I submitted all the questions that we put that episode up, and I was like, fuck. So if that was the episode that they want to listen to, it's over, dude. It's just done.
So it's been a little while since we've tried.
We can try again. We can try again.
I will play devil's acrobat and say this.
Yes.
Now, there are ways that we could probably go about getting Wizards employees on this cast if we really wanted to. We also have made enough of a name for ourselves in the Magic community that the Wizards employees, at least a decent portion of them, maybe not all of them, know who we are and have either listened to our fucking podcast or been to our parties, and they know that, you know, while they might like us, you know, in person and will like to hang out with us and they will come to our parties, they don't really want to publicly associate themselves with our podcast.
Well, I'm just...
I feel like...
I think you're right.
A chunk of
that
is my...
A small chunk is that... I hope, though, that in... Some part of me wishes that they secretly all listen to this in their off time just because they find the show humorous. But I highly doubt that.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, like, it just, we've, you know, we're pretty loud and out there about who
we are. Strong opinions.
And we've never pulled any punches. And, like, from their point of view, they're like, oh, well, regardless what clip you send, you could just, like, we could all be saying the Lord's Prayer over and over again and fucking send them that. And, like, it doesn't matter. Like, they're like, oh, Heavy Meta, yeah, we know who you are and know we're not going to show up.
we're on a blacklist somewhere,
loud,
right?
You've got that loud, obnoxious drunk on your cast. You guys, like, we heard there was some fucking turmoil going on because you have Tristan Gregson on your cast, which, I mean, that could go either way. And then you've got a guy that's really good at magic, and you've got fucking Maddie, who is just desperately trying to, like, hold this thing together and be like, oh, please come on the cast. Like, here,
Here, I'll answer your questions the best.
So what you're saying is,
no, I see right. I see right.
So what you're saying,
you've got.
So what you're saying, what you're saying in layman's term is, me and David should start our own cast, and we'll get all the guests we want. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it sounds like there was a sweet spot there, and we fucked it up. I mean, nowadays, Wizards employees are probably too afraid to come on our cast because Channel Fireball might ban them from events in the future.
Exactly! Oh!
Shots fired.
It would really be shitty if Mark couldn't go to a GP they were running.
Oh, yeah. That would be the best ever. Come on, let me in. Sorry, we just can't, dude. We don't support people that do business.
Again, on the small list, reasons why this isn't happening, your impression probably goes on that list.
I'm not even bullshitting. They like my impression. Heard that from legitimate sources at Wizards that they think my impression is actually funny. So, in your face. In your face. Anyways, moving on to
Rosewater thing is funny. That's the
yeah, no, they probably don't. Okay, moving on to other stuff. I assume it is that time, gentlemen, in the cast that...
I don't think we have any other magic-related
news.
I'm pretty
sure there's plenty of other magic shit we could talk about.
David, are you playing the pre-release this weekend?
I don't know.
I don't really want to play. It's like,
no Ridgecrest representation at the pre-release.
Well, I got my kids this weekend, so if I do, I have to do a midnight.
Oh, I'm too old for midnight. I can't do that shit.
See, now I'm going to do one of two things. I'm either going to go, and it's different now that you have your kids, because I was either going to go and play if I can get it, if there's not enough, or if there's not too many people already signed up. Or I was actually thinking, because Daniel was kind of on the fence about it too. He's like, I basically just go and lose every time, and it's just not really much fun for me, other than hanging out and playing some magic with people I can talk to, like you and David and stuff like that. So what I was thinking about doing is, like, hitting them up, seeing if I can play the pre-release, and if not, just buying a couple of the pre-release kits, because they always have those left over, buying a couple pre-release kits and just doing it at home Saturday night. Like... You know, if you were able to come, I was going to
make your own pre-release. I like it.
Yeah, and we'll be like, oh, cool, we got pre-release kits. We still got the same chances to open the same shit, but I don't really care about winning the packs because I know David's going to win them anyway. And if David's not there, fucking Calvin's going to win them. So,
Calvin.
He's like the fucking Asian David.
Asian David. One of those trademark that somebody.
I mean,
somebody.
Does he grapple?
Does he grapple? No. Okay, sorry. His Twitter. No. Stop. His Twitter handle has to be Rapple Raffle, right?
Oh my. Or Raging a Rumby. Oh,
no. Raffle's so much better. Raffle. You strange mutter beast. Oh, that's awesome right there, dude. Raffle. Dude.
City Rock, what a priest! No, but I was going to say, aside from all the other things that David does, like just magic-wise, you racist son of a
bitch. That's not... That's his good Twitter handle.
I think in Limited, Calvin and I are pretty even. I think we've played each other, I don't know how many times, in the finals or semifinals, and we're pretty close to 50-50 on Limited. I think I dominate him like 80 or 90% in Constructed. So
yeah, which is very, very good
Limited player.
From my point of view, it's like I don't show up to F&Ms, and then I show up to pre-releases, and it's always you and Calvin winning. So that's where I base my shit from. So yeah, the Limited. But what I was going to say is, like, yeah, David, I don't know if that's something that you could work out or whatever. Like, maybe I just do that instead. Like, I'm more interested in just, like, going and buying one of them sweet little fucking Zendikar deck boxes with a fucking spin down counter in it, getting some packs, opening them up, having a good time. But David's been there for most of my pre-release experiences. I'm like, oh man, I had some fun. I played some good games. And I still didn't win, but, like, I mean, I had some fun and I'm usually hungover. I don't think I've ever been to one not hungover. And, like, I feel like I could just,
buy the fucking pre-release packs and then come back here and just get wrecked drunk and open up the sealed pools and fucking have a blast with it. I need to start having pre-releases at my house.
I will tell you what, if I am not on date, then I will do that.
That would be fucking sweet. I think maybe that would be like the better option. Just be like, oh, hey, can I just get mine to go?
can I get my pre-release to go? Does it come with a free drink? Because I really need to go.
I feel like maybe this is how we should start treating pre-releases. We could get, you know, enough people together. Like, you know, there's me, you, Daniel. We got fucking Josh that used to live across the street from me that never can really make it out to go to pre-releases. He does every once in a while. But like, he's been talking about wanting to play Magic more. Like, we could get, you know, 5-6 guys together to just get our fucking pre-release kits to go. Like, sign up for the event. Fuck it. And then buy our fucking box and bring them back to my house Saturday evening. And then just do the pre-release here and get wrecked and watch fucking Sunny in Philadelphia and fucking open our seal pools. Because you're really the only one that's losing out here, David. Because you, when you go, you win and stuff. And you get a bunch of prize
packs. I try to win. But the other thing is I normally buy, like, one of their extra packs. So if I do
that... You're also good at doing multiple pre-releases at a weekend. And you've done the whole, like, midnight, then come to the regular pre-release in Ridgecrest, and then go out of town for a Sunday one. And have won all of those in a row. Now, what happens when you get to add one more to it? Like the fucking Kevin Metal's house, the Rape Dungeon pre-release.
Oh, in the middle of it. And there's another reason.
There's a title right there.
There's another reason why they don't come on the show.
I saw. Yeah. I see on your DCI record, you once played an event at the Rape Dungeon.
And I dominated it.
Yeah, and I won. I won. Yeah. There's assholes bleeding all over the...
those motherfuckers.
I won the dirty hot tub event.
Oh, man. Speaking of DCI events and things that were recorded, I did play in one last PPTQ of the old season last weekend.
Man, your adventure in this horrible hell that you are trying to do is... I don't know why you're doing it.
I mean, for most of it is just casual hangout with friends. Like, this one was in Santa Cruz where I used to live, so I was going to hang out with people I knew. But it reminded me of how much I hated the integration system for the old DCI and how fucking pompous and annoying judges can be from time to time. So
you heard it here first, folks. ESG is against the integration system. We want separate drinking fountains.
Yeah, for judges.
For old DCI numbers and new DCI numbers. So no, like, you know, when they moved everything over in planeswalkerpoints.com and they did like this different integration for your old number and how you logged in and all this garbage. So forever, I couldn't log in with what was the email address that I had used to create my account forever and a day ago. And I somehow managed to sign up for a new DCI number with the same email address and all of this hullabaloo that I thought was just like it was never active because I used the same email address the entire time. But had two numbers associated with whatever. So last weekend, somehow in the system, they looked up this number that has never been used, that I signed up for 2 years ago, that somehow still has my name and address in the system, and then ran the event with that name and number. And then when I found out, I went to the guy, I was like, hey, yeah, I've never used this. In fact, it's the whole reason it exists is because I was trying to log in with my old info, and I couldn't, so it made me create a new one. So I was like, this isn't going to be reflected on my record at all. Like, can you just change that over? And the judge is like, actually, you have to go and merge the accounts. I'm just not going to change it here. I'm like, so I have to go and log into the thing I can't log into with the information I don't have to try to get my record from this event? Yeah, that's never going to happen. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Wow, it's such negativity. Jeez.
Oh, it was just such a pain in the ass. It was like, I caught it in round one. I was like, that's not my DCI number. Here's my DCI number. He's like,
you're making them do shit, dude. They don't know.
I'm making them do what they should have done in the beginning. And instead he's like, oh, just, you know, just merge them. And I'm like, I can't do that because I don't have any of the information for the secondary number. That was fun. And then I watched some super awesome fucking angle shooting shenanigans that was so rage filling. It was insane to watch these people.
What did you just say? Angle shooting. Yeah. Goats?
Shenanigans.
Yeah, what's a shenanigans? Yeah. That sounds like a new creature type of magic. A shenanigans? It's like a half shaman. It's like a half shaman, half human goat.
Oh! Steve Raffle, get on shenanigans.
Oh my god,
tokens,
yes.
Please.
It's a goat human that is like shooting a camera at weird angles. Oh,
yeah, it's fucking just, do
it's
it.
A,
It's a shapeshifter goat. That's all there is to it.
Oh my god, shapeshifter?
It's a shenanigans goat.
You guys like have taken this and warped it to something fairly different. But
I want my new token like, creature. No, TSG's new token creature type is shenanigans goat. That's it. It's like a mutaball,
but it's a legendary creature shapeshifter goat.
Oh my god. This is okay. Why isn't Kevy designing new commander generals? Like that right there? That is gonna spark canoe a shenanigans? That's so good, dude.
So in competitive events now, when your opponent like misplays or something, the problem is I don't play enough competitive Magic anymore, so I don't know exactly how shit works. So there's a kid who's playing this like the red blue prowess deck that my friends had designed that is god awful that they convinced me to play. It's like the Abbot of Carol Keep, Monastery Swift Spear, Elusive Spell Fist, like Jeskai Sage, and a bunch of 1 and 2 mana red and blue draw spells. It's really awful. So this kid is playing the deck, and he's playing it against a former Star City Games Open winner who is considered by many to be an extremely shady character, although I cannot confirm nor deny, so I will try to withhold any information people have tried to share with me that I can't say is fact. So, but this person is a pain in the ass to play against. I can confirm that because I have played against this individual before. So the poor kid who's trying to win with this god-awful prowess deck plays his red-blue gain one life land untapped, may or may not have been on accident. Who knows? It's his fourth land. And he uses it to play a Monastery Swift Spear, and then he casts Tormented Voice. And his opponent stops him and is like, wait a second. You can't put that Monastery Swift Spear into play off that land. And the judge comes over and has him rewind it, puts the whatever the red-blue land is intact, and his opponent has still cast Tormented Voice. So, like, the asshole angle shooter is trying to get it so he misses a prowess trigger on his Monastery Swift Spear by not being in play. So the kid resolves the Tormented Voice, and instead of recasting a Monastery Swift Spear, he instead casts a Wild Slash on the only blocker that Artard has in play, and then attacks with his other creatures to win the game. To which point, the asshole who's trying to angle shoot is like, well, wait a second, that's way worse for me. Just have him put the Monastery Swift Spear in play instead. Which kind of blew everyone's mind who was watching this garbage go on, and made me want to quit playing Magic for at least a month.
Yeah, but doesn't the judge just say, no?
Yeah, I mean, he did. It was like, I mean, it was a very ridiculous claim from someone that plays a lot of competitive Magic that knows how the rules works, where it's like, in what world? So it's like, the judge is like, I have to rewind events, but I cannot force a player to do things
that obviously
you
worse,
want
yeah.
him to do.
Whatever.
Like, it was just ridiculous. It wasn't like some asshole kid or someone like uneducated person about the rules trying
that
to game some another educated person about the rules.
That is pure shenanigans right there, man.
It was quite the shenanigans. It was absolutely absurd to have to watch go down. I mean, thankfully, the kid who was playing this, like, steaming pile of cat shit deck that's, like, very, you know, I got caught in this trap as well. I played 6 rounds with that pile of shit. He, you know, won his first round playing it, and I felt very good for him. Obviously, his day didn't go on much further, but that may or may not have been his own fault. Who really knows? But, yeah, that was the kind of crap I had to put up with as a judge who told me to go fuck myself and find my own DCI information, and watching this guy be a complete asshole to some kid who's playing a bad deck to begin with. That was my weekend. No, actually, we got to cube many times.
He had a blast. I love it. He's like, yeah, no, I cubed. It was good. It was not good. Nothing.
No, it was one of those.
Nothing matters as long as you cube.
Here's the thing. Like, I've now played in like 5 of these PPTQs. And I top aided 2 of them and didn't win them. Or actually, well, 1 I scooped. And then the other 3 I had a win in every single time and lost it. And played pretty much the maximum amount of Magic with the minimal amount of reward. So this last event was 6 rounds and I was 3-1. You know, 4-1 or 1 or better is going to make it. You know, lose round 5, insta-drop. And it's like, all right, we're fucking cubing today. I'm not gonna wait around to try to win some store credit or some shit for a 4-2 record. So thankfully we got to Rochester Draft a couple of times that evening, including Platinum Pro Nathan Holiday. Got to play some Magic with him and beat him and uphold my record against what used to be this tiny little Jufrode kid who is now a huge Jufrode Platinum Pro. So check out Nathan's stream on Pseudo Nathan on Twitch TV. He is pretty fucking sweet. And his dad is super awesome too. We've been playing Magic with him for over a decade. So he also makes some pretty entertaining appearances on his stream for those that have watched it before. So check that out when you get a chance.
Oh man, new Twitch following right there.
Hopefully, what? Yeah. I mean, Nathan and his dad Alan, we go way the fuck back when, again, Nathan was just a tiny, tiny child coming to the store, and his dad is very entertaining as well. Those guys have played a lot of Magic with us over the last, oh my god, so long.
That's an so actual years. Term of time right there. Oh my god, so many years.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. I believe once you've eclipsed 10 years, that is the
oh my god, so many years.
And exactly. If you try to pull, like, I think it's 3 shenanigans in a single evening, you are suddenly in shenanigo territory.
And my last shout out of the evening, I finally got around to trying to hand out the stuff that Scott sent me from Sign and Blood. So once again, thank you, Scott from Sign and Blood, for sending a little care package my way.
Yes.
I'll try to dole some more of that stuff out over the course of the future FNMs and pre-releases. So pretty much, you know, if you find me at one of these events and I've mentioned it on Twitter that I'm giving stuff away, I've got some Sign and Blood life pads and play mats to hand out to those players.
Nice.
I would love for Scott to send me a care package like that, but you know I'd just keep it all.
I also know that the only time you leave your house to play Magic is when you're going to a pre-release to pick up a pre-release kit to take it home.
Yeah! I could just drop off some shit, be like, oh, here's some life pads, asshole, and then I'll keep playing.
Oh my god, that's sweet. I have a shout-out before we get to the whole, apparently it is a certain dense lead-filled things... birthday today, so apparently, yeah, I didn't realize that those types.
Is it like his half birthday?
Yeah, I didn't think they were even legally allowed to celebrate birthdays because they're not humans.
Yeah, you must be this big to celebrate.
Well, I don't know if it's the height necessarily, just as the classification of species. Like, I don't think they're humans, so I don't know. But apparently.
It's like leap year. They only. It's kind of like a leap year, but you know they only get to fucking grow a year every.
Yeah,
other
or
year.
Or I think on St. Paddy's Day that's a special acknowledgement. I thought all midgets celebrated their birthday on St. Paddy's Day, but apparently they don't. anyways, huge shout out, happy birthday to Heavy Metal Midget.
Midget. Happy birthday, motherfucker.
Yeah. All right. Well, it is about that time.
Time to flush ourselves down.
Oh
this
yeah,
hole.
Man. Here's a good question.
It's ridiculous.
It is. I have to be honest, and I find that the Twitter hole is growing at least by 10% every week. The amount of questions.
Well, that's just reserves lists.
Yeah. Well, you see, he pushes it. He pushes there. You ask over 10 and then, you know, we're going to start blacklisting that shit. You got to take your time. It's not about quantity.
No, it's nice though. Cause like some of them are really good still. So we can just hand pick the group.
That is true.
Until he just starts firing off nonsense that like, then we might cut him. Other than that, you know, we'll still answer some of those questions if they're good enough.
That's true. That's true. The one question I saw, I don't know, I'll probably scroll through it and remember the shout out to who it was, but they did say, what would we call the people who pose these questions to the Twitter hole? And I was like, ooh, that's actually really good. Like, what is the terminology that we give to them? Twitterites? Like, holies? Do we call them, like, smelly Twitter people? I don't know, like...
Flushables.
No, flushables are the quite like send us your flushables. That's a good one. But like, what are the people that like the like shitters, like tweet shitters?
Flushables.
All right. Well, you know what? We're gonna have to work on that because that could go deep. I'm not sure. We have to think of some good names for that one. It is that time. So let's jump in.
Or we could just call them hole worshippers.
holier than now. I like hole worshippers. That's not bad. You know, we got to come up with something as good as Heavy Metal SVU. Like, the SVU, that was good marketing right there. It's good branding. That's a good one. We'll figure that one out. Don't you worry. But if someone ever wants to make...
Yeah, I'm going to drink more and I'll...
Yeah, that's right. As long as he's drinking, we'll figure something out. The good thing is, though, someone make a t-shirt of just a toilet seat on that, that's it. Just a toilet seat. We'll put a hashtag, you know, like holier than Twitter. Yeah, fill me now. That's all it needs. Here we go. Jim Cassell, him and Bruce are always the first ones, man. When I tweet the early ones, those guys are like right on it. He says, if we could remove one basic land type from Magic, what would it be?
Islands.
Is that what he's talking about? Like the island, forest, plains, swamp, mountain?
Yeah.
Well, it
says basic land type.
That's about all.
I don't know. I honestly think the game's too balanced to remove any. It'd be a hole.
I do too, but if I'm gonna remove one, you guys all know my answer.
You know what, as I get older, I kinda do appreciate the island.
If I can't use a fucking treasure cruise, then I don't need islands.
You know what, I thought I would never say this.
Then again, I was talking about, like, merfolk and shit too. Like, I wanna build merfolk and play around with that. Like, that could be a lot of fun. I'm gonna need islands for that. But then I think my next ditch it would be like fucking forest.
No. Think about it like this. Red and blue are too iconic.
Red, black, and white are the three colors that I work out of. And then I branch out into green and blue, and fucking trust me, there's a lot of, like, I couldn't survive in fucking modern if I didn't have green, because I can't get rid of enchantments. But I don't know.
I hate to say it, but I feel like I'm a white mage at heart, but I think white is the most boringest color.
No, but white is like fucking sideboard.
It is, but like, if I had to remove one and make the game still function as much, I think green could take a bit of what white does, and maybe blue takes a bit of it.
I think you're right in the sense that, like, if you had to, like, say
green, you can't get rid of, like, ramp, and you can't get rid of, like, creatures, because that's what green is. Red is.
Well, like, no, what I'm saying is, like, his question is if you could get rid of one, and I think it's more interesting if you have to get rid of one. Because I think all of us would universally agree that we aren't going to get rid of any one of them, because they all have their places, you know, in Magic. So if we could get rid of one, we'd be like, oh, no, I'm not going to. So if you have to get rid of one, I think you're on the right track.
And I don't want to. Like, just be clear. I know I'm going to get hated on. I love white. That is, like, my jam. It's just, it has, like, I don't know. That's so hard.
I feel like I feel like the world could keep, like, the Magic world could keep revolving and doing what it's supposed to do without white. And then, you know, like, because it seems like white is the most kind of bland color in the color pie, I guess. Like, I mean, it does, you know, specific things. And it, like I said, especially, like, sideboard-wise, it does a lot of shit. But, like, you could do a lot of the shit that you do, like, most of the shit you do in Magic without white.
Yeah, watch everyone just lambast. It's like, you fucking idiots. No, you can't.
What the fuck's wrong with
you? Don't you remember Circles of Protection? Well, they're going to say
shit. Yeah, they're going to say shit like, oh, well, what about Path to Exile? And what about, I don't know.
he doesn't need Boral's Charm. How do I cast Boral's Charm?
That's it. Yeah, well, I mean, that's not, like, I could live without Boros Charm if I had. If we didn't have white, we wouldn't have Leyland of Sanctity, and I wouldn't give a shit about any of that. I'd still be mono red. But, like, you know, if we could get rid of, if we had to get rid of one color, I think, like, seriously, I think if you had to get rid of one color from Magic, I think white would be the one you could get rid of, and it would still stay as close as it possibly could be to the same game without, like, you know, as opposed to any of the other colors.
I agree.
What do you, TSG, fucking David, what do you think about this? If you had to get rid of one color and still kind of keep the game,
I agree. I think white is probably the one where you could get rid of it and it would do the least to the game.
Dave's like, yeah, that's all I got to say about that. It's
vanilla. Just get rid of it.
I love vanilla. It's my favorite flavor, man. I think
TSG
went to a hot dog fucking convention, so he'll be right back. Oh my god. Okay, well, while he's figuring shit out, here's one for you guys. So, Good Will Hunting, the movie, is being rewritten as Good Will Wheaton. What's the premise of the movie? Too many buttholes?
What?
I love reading a question you guys are like, what? Okay, I'll read it again. Good Will Hunting is being rewritten as Good Will Wheaton. What is the premise of that movie? I think for me, it's like, okay, well, Will Wheaton is hired by a game company to come promote the latest set, and he fails miserably. But somehow an older teacher who likes buttholes makes a joke about them, and then everybody laughs.
No, no, see, like, Good Will Hunting is all about, like, the janitor that just happens to be a closet fucking genius. Like, I think, like, Good Will Wheaton would be, like, fucking the, I don't know, the fucking Philadelphia Eagles hire Will Wheaton as a fucking, like, marketing promotion fucking specialist, okay, like, you know, in the office somewhere, or, and then, like, he's just screwing around one day, like, he, like, walks out, like, he has to walk across the field to get to the other side of the fucking stadium to dick with another computer, and just happens to be walking across and just catches a fucking pass, and everybody realizes that Will Wheaton happens to be, like, the best wide receiver out there, and just nobody knew it. And so
it's,
Will Wheaton,
like, a mixture of Rudy and Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not the plot of Good Will Hunting.
No, but this, so then, like, Will Wheaton's, like, you know, just, like, in his tech world, and, like, realizes he's an amazing football player, and then becomes, like, fucking the best football player out there. And that's about as far as I got with the plot in the minute and a half I had to think about.
I'm pretty sure that you've combined more than one movie into that, but I dig it. I dig it.
It doesn't matter. Like, okay, tell me that every other fucking movie in Hollywood now is not a complete.
No, you're right. You're right. That's how they do it. They have a giant wheel. They just spin.
So, if you brought this shit to Miramax and you're like, oh, Good Will Wheaton, check it out. Fucking, it's like Rudy, except for Good Will Hunting, and Will Wheaton's the star of it. They're like, yeah, fucking print it. Fucking go. Like, let's have fucking Shyamalan direct it, and there's a twist at the end, and Will Wheaton's not even Will Wheaton all
the
time.
What the twist?
He's fucking Patrick Stewart.
Oh my god, that would be absolutely horrendously horrible. I don't even know if Gumby's gonna make a comment on that one. That one seems dead in the water to me.
No, he's
just done. Okay, how about this? If the cast of our show was on the crew of the USS Enterprise, what would everyone's job or character be? Well, okay,
You know I can't be a red shirt because
No, dude, I've got your job. Okay, if everyone... Now, this is going to be an old-school one. If TSG was here, he'd laugh. Star Trek's Next Generation, Whoopi Goldberg played... What the fuck was her name? Whoopi Gideon?
No, it was Gideon or Gildon.
Or...
What the fuck?
The bartender chick.
She wasn't a bartender. She was like an oracle.
Oh, my God,
almost.
She was a fucking bartender. She ran a cafeteria.
Her name was Gideon Whoopi.
No, her name was Whoopi.
She was the water
boy. Did not run the goddamn cafeteria.
Whoopi Goldberg 100% ran the cafeteria on Star Trek's Next Generation.
Did you watch that
yes,
show?
I did.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg.
Her
name was Gideon, and
I don't know
if
it was Gideon.
I think
it was like Whoopi
Elder. She was in the Will Wheaton movie. She was in the Will Wheaton movie. She was the water boy.
You need to go back and watch, like, all of the episodes.
I did, dude. She was in the cafeteria. That was her fucking thing. She'd serve cakes and tea and listen to people talk. Oh, my God. How many times did Will Riker come in there stanking a vagina, and she just talked to him?
Thank God I do not care about Star Trek. All
right. Well, I think Kevy would run the fucking bar. If there was one and there was some whoopee chick running it, she'd run it with him. Guaranteed. TSG, on the other hand... I think he would work with probably Deanna Troi. I think he's like a telepath and shit.
I figure I would probably be the dude that's just like, it works in the engine room, that's just high on cocaine all the time.
Can I get more power? Yeah, you fucking can.
No matter what time of day it is, no matter what time of night, and like you just needed, like you just fucking, the captain on the bridge just all boop, and like needs more power, or needs more shit to the phasers. I'm like, that's probably not gonna work out real well. We're gonna have to shut off the lights in the cafeteria, but we could get this to work.
And shut off the lights in the cafeteria of the Starship Enterprise.
We'll get it to work, man. Hey, I'll get the power where you need it, and. I mean, who knows? At that point, we might go in reverse because I'm all fucked up on coke the whole time. But I'm always there when you need me.
I don't know. This ship sounds not fun.
All right. Fucking Maddie is a savant. Her name was Guinan, or Frances Guinan. She was known for her wise counsel, and she was a listener, a race of listeners who were scattered by the Borg, and she was a bartender in 10
Oh,
Forward.
My God. Hello. Bing dong.
Hello.
Bing dong. And it wasn't Gwinon. It was some weird pronunciation.
No, I'm reading it right Gwildon? Now. No, it was Gwinon. G-U-I-N-A-N.
Nah,
I'm reading
man.
It right now. France.
I remember Will Wheaton like being all like, "Oh my God, look at me, I'm fucking," and she was like, "Oh my God,"
she said, "I fucking knew it," and now
all right, fine, all right, I fucking knew it, bitch. All right, I also think Gumby would be probably tactical officer. I think he would be that. Definitely a landing party guy I would want to have with us. You know, I'm like, okay, he's coming with me. I think actually TSG would be a good science officer. Maybe. I don't know. I think I'd be captain of the fucking ship, run this shit in the hole. Kevy, give me more power! And Kevy's just, like, playing in the background with a fucking axe.
You have to get to the chopper.
Oh, my God, the Klingon's attacking. Oh, my God, there's a Klingon. Yeah, I don't know. We're bad. All we knew about... I did know about Whoopi, though, so that is decent.
I don't know shit about Star Trek.
All right, I
know red shirts always die, and I like.
And
I
Riker fucks anything with tits.
Nah, well,
that's pretty sure.
I'm talking about like the entire Star Trek
the universe,
franchise.
Okay.
I don't even know who Riker is.
How do you not know who Will Riker is, man?
He's number
God,
two.
He had a beard and everything.
God damn it. Oh, that guy. I know Patrick Stewart was in that shit. I know Will Wheaton was in that shit. And it was like, I just did not care about that at all.
All right. Well, here, this question is right up TSG's alley here. The proxy guy rarely asks questions. Hold on. This is a good one. He rarely asks us a question. He says, you can abolish the reserve list. Okay? And we all want to do that. But the only sanctioned format becomes vintage. Do you do it? Ugh.
I think that's bad
oh, man.
Magic.
No way. Oh, but the Anthony J, Coda underscore, oh shit, what is this? Cholopic? Coda underscore Cholopic. What kind of fucking name is that? He says loophole, banless rotates. Ooh, interesting. No?
I mean, it'd be a pretty chunky band list.
It sounds horrible, though.
I mean, okay, so that's much closer to fun, because we do need, you need some change.
Yeah.
In your magic to really make it interesting. Otherwise, it just boils down to whatever, you know, the fastest combo deck versus the best control deck and a few different aggro decks. So I think that magic is healthy with standard. I think you need it. Don't get me wrong. I fucking love old powerful cards, but it just wouldn't work, boys. It just wouldn't work.
I don't know, man. You wouldn't want to, like, try? That sounds interesting. I mean,
I've played vintage. I've tried vintage. I think vintage is what we're talking about playing.
No, but like,
right?
If we just ban all vintage cards, and then I think you're good.
That's legacy.
Okay, ban everything up until modern. Basically, we get modern. No, you know what? I think the cards back then were just completely out of balance and overpowered. You're fucked, right? You just can't. Because who's gonna play anything new?
And the game was never meant to be played that way. Right? I mean, even the creators will tell you that.
That's true. All right. Well, there you go. We've settled that one. Oh, my God. Here you go. Here you go, Kevy.
Yeah,
Jim Cassell says, what's your favorite guilty pleasure girly drink? Disclaimer, this is not sexist. I mean fruity.
Probably a Midori Sour.
I don't even know what a girly drink is.
Because that's what you drink.
I don't want to drink fucking girly.
I like
all my drinks have passion fruit. all my drinks have passion fruit and mango in them. It's the best.
Guilty.
I guess margaritas.
I gotta
is that
say,
a fucking
like,
girl drink? Is margaritas?
And
like,
yeah,
is it how
no,
strong you
really.
Make your margarita? I do like strong margarita.
I'm kind of the same way with like my answer would, I guess, like right off the bat would be fucking like mimosas. But I mean, I can drink mimosas all fucking weekend.
It's kind of like one of the only few acceptable breakfast beverages. I think you kind of mimosas have to be allowed.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I mean, like, I don't drink mimosas like on Friday.
I don't know.
Night.
How about this? So. What drink do you drink with an umbrella in it? That's a girl drink, right?
Definitely.
Right. So I mean, like, I guess mimosas don't have umbrellas.
Anything?
Yeah.
I
said my answer.
No, I said mine. It's got to be margaritas.
I mean,
technically, if it's fruity, if that's what classifies, then my drink is the Raging Gumby, the Kraken, Midori, and pineapple juice.
I highly doubt a girl would ever drink that drink, but okay.
Yeah.
No, that's
impressive with the flavor.
That's interesting. That's interesting. All right.
No, that still kind of counts. Like any of those, those kind of count. Like, I don't know. I just tend to not like drinking things that don't make me feel like I'm going to die in the morning. So, yeah, I don't know. I got to say that I think your guys' versions of it are probably better girly drinks, but I got to say like mimosas. Like I love mimosas. I could drink the shit out of those. But that's probably
you shouldn't put shit in them. They're much better without the shit.
That's why he drinks them out of them and then I
save the actual mimosa for last. Like I drink the shit out of them and then I go like, all right, now this is gonna be good. But no, like mimosa is probably it because it's just champagne and orange juice. Like you gotta really try to get drunk.
Yeah, that barely classifies as a drink. All right, let's move up here. Oh, he's got a good one here. If fiancés were not part of the equation, how many kids would you have? Now, I know. My first reaction was, what the fuck does that mean? So I assume he's saying if we don't have wives or fiancés, like what, we just get kids? I would say zero. Right? How am I getting kids? How am I making kids without a fiance? I don't know how that's happening.
Wait, what is the question again?
Well, I mean, the question don't make no goddamn sense.
Yeah, how many kids?
Okay, listen, I'll read it again slow. If fiancés were not part of the equation, how many kids would you have? Hmm. So I'm assuming we're adopting kids like Angelina Jolie, maybe? Is that how we're creating?
You reread that like it was going to make more sense.
Yeah, it's. I'm still confused.
Okay, you know what, Jim? Sometimes you hit him out of the park. Sometimes.
Hey, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe we're like missing something. So let's put a pin in that shit. That or he's missing something. Let's put a pin in that shit. And Jim, you gotta fucking give us some sort of backstory on this or something. Like hit us up on Twitter and be like, oh. No, you fucking jerks. This is what I meant. Because right now, I think we're all confused.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm reading it wrong. Maybe he's saying if finances were not part of the equation.
That makes way more sense.
And Maddie was giving everybody shit for not being able to pronounce the card names.
Hey, I am fucking dyslexic, man. That is a known fact. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. So if finances were not...
That does make a lot more
sense.
Wow,
yeah, because I was like, I don't know where these kids are coming from.
You're like, wait, let me reread it. Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so Jim, I take it back. Yell at Maddie on
he
Twitter
always does.
For fucking this up. I would still have one kid in a second on the way and call it good.
I probably would have one more. I'd probably have three. Because then you can get a bigger house. I don't know. I don't think any more than three. Then it gets a lot, man. That's, two kids is already a lot. Three would be good, though. I think I could take three.
It depends on what kind of parents you are. You could also be one of those that's like, oh, yeah. I want to fucking procreate. I want to live the family name on forever. Like, buy a huge fucking house. Just fire out kids. It's like, as soon as she's done being pregnant, just start it again. Start it again. Start it again. Just fire out kids like crazy. Hire all the nannies you want. Like, if you're a shit father, you don't have to be there or anything. You could just be like, you could be like that dude on the, what's that, fucking Mormon fucking Sister Wives show.
And that guy's like, evil.
Yo, hey, I got 35 kids, and like once a week I'll stop in and say hi to them for 10 minutes.
Father of the year.
Yeah. If you got time for a fucking TV show... You got time to spend 5 minutes a week with your kid. Like, you could go that route, but me personally, I'd still have the same amount of kids I have because, like, financially, it's not a fucking issue. I'm not like, oh, man, if I had a little bit more money, I'd fire out another kid.
It's time.
No, I'd rather spend
my time. It's also time. Like, fuck, I already found out I don't have time.
Ooh, but my time's worth money.
There you go. See? And finances aren't a problem, so therefore you have unlimited time. Ooh. What? Oh shit. Guinan. It was Guinan. It was fucking Guinan. Maddie, you were pronouncing it wrong. It was fucking Guinan. Whoopi Goldberg is Guinan.
That's not fucking Gideon.
I know. I didn't say it was. I didn't say it was.
Hey.
You did say it was.
I said it might be.
All right.
It's finance, not Beyonce. You said
dude,
it wrong.
Oh, that was honest, man. No, I was waiting for Gubby to come in and be like, hey, if you worked in a bar on a Starship Enterprise.
Hey! If you're Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes.
And you were on a starship. Yes. What would your job be?
I definitely think it would be pronouncing my name correctly.
I would definitely pronounce my name Gweenan.
Gweenan, oh my god. I wonder how many people are raging for all this time when you were called a Gweenan. Anyways, alright, we're moving on, because that...
Star Wars nerds don't matter.
That's true.
Star Wars nerds do matter. Star Trek nerds don't matter. Sorry. I got a little ahead of myself.
Are you guys up for...
I want to interrupt the Twitter hole real quick, because this is a question that I feel like I need to post all to right. you guys. I like... You know, I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
I love Star Wars. Always have. Always will. I don't think anything is ever going to change that. And I was really excited that, you know, that George Lucas sold the rights to fucking Disney. Yeah. And that means we could actually get our hands on some Star Wars merchandise and have some fun with it. And, like, you know, you could take that fucking incredible universe that he wrote and actually do something with it.
And give it to people that are better.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, not that it's a parallel to Wizards of the Coast or anything like that, but, you know, in smaller levels, it seems a lot like that.
What?
Everybody wants Star Wars merchandise. Well, everybody wanted Star Wars merchandise forever. Everybody wanted a good Star Wars movie, but, you know, George Lucas owned the rights to it, and he would basically be like, oh, here you go, here's Jar Jar Binks, and here's a fucking shit t-shirt. Now, okay. They've released the rights, they've sold the rights, and now... Everybody can produce Star Wars merchandise, and now there's a whole new Star Wars world coming out of it, because, you know, have people like J.J. Abrams fucking wreck this fucking movie and just...
Okay, where are you going? Give me a route sign or a map to where you're going. Where are we going?
Well, you kind of in the middle of it. Like, I personally think this parallels a lot with Wizards of the Coast and, like, all of our arguments forever about, like, releasing the fucking rights. Now,
what?
Back to the Star Wars thing, though.
Well, I'm lost. I'm somewhere in the desert, and it's nighttime, and coyotes are out. Like, what? I'm scared. Where are we going?
Am I really that far off base? All I'm saying is this does parallel the Wizards of the Coast magic thing where we've always talked about.
How does this parallel Wizards of the Coast? At what level? That Mark Rosewater is George Lucas? Maybe?
It's the fact that we've always talked about, like, this is a little fucking side note in the middle of my own conversation.
Oh, shit,
but, like,
we're going off the rail of the rail.
Oh, shit, it's a conversation. He thinks he's talking to somebody else.
it's the fact that, okay, so we've always talked about on this cast, like, it'd be great if, like, if Wizard of the Coast, like, would let some of their intellectual property go so that outside could make money off of it. They could make money off of the royalties, and we could have some cool.
I see the main road now. I see where we are.
That's exactly what's happened with Star Wars recently, where George Lucas had a stranglehold on it, and it was basically a bunch of garbage forever. And then since they sold it to Disney, everybody has a piece of it. Like, literally everybody has a piece of it. You have fucking Star Wars shit, like, in Walmart, Target, fucking us. I just saw on Twitter today, sorry, the game, like, has a Star Wars version. You know, there's the Angry Birds shit that happened, like, before the sale happened. But, like, that's where it all started. Like, is anybody else here, like, kind of almost sick of seeing Star Wars shit now? The movie's still a couple months out. And I am personally sick of seeing every company on the planet having Star Wars shit. I am sick of seeing, like, fucking Target being like, oh, it's fucking Force Friday! And there's just fucking shit everywhere. Like, everything has fucking Star Wars characters attached to it now.
It's
a bad sign if it's reached Kevy's level of saturation. That's one of the warning signs of the apocalypse, is there is officially too much Star Wars shit. I felt this way for years, but yes, I agree with you. We've reached a level of saturation now that has definitely reached the
I think you also have a young boy who is force-feeding a lot of that awesome shit into your household. So, you know, I was working at Toys R Us.
Walk hard days.
Yeah,
insane.
I mean, I...
No, like, Brody loves Vader because I taught him to that Vader's the good guy. But he doesn't, like, he's not so, like, into Star Wars so much. Like, he's not like, oh, Dad, I need this, Dad, I need this. It's the fact that, like, I can't go into
a store. Okay, I get store you.
Or online outlets. I can't go to fucking Amazon. I can't go to fucking, like, Walmart.com or fucking go into Walmart or go to fucking Target or anything like that without everything having fucking Star Wars attached.
That's and Disney, man. That's how Disney rolls.
Hey, that's cool, but I have a feeling that this is going to be the end of the Star Wars franchise here. It's the fact that, like, shit, so much.
Dude, watch, I guarantee, dude, do you know what they're doing? They're creating a next generation of people that in 20 years are going to go back and tell their kids, this is what I lived through. No, they're not. Disney is going to sell the shit out of it.
No, guarantee you it's done. I guarantee
okay,
you.
Okay, okay. You know what? Hey, I'm flying high on bets recently, so I'll take that bet.
2 to 3 years from now, nobody's going to give a fuck about Star Wars anymore because now attention span is gone to fucking shit. And so now, like, they definitely are. Like, every company is jumping on the bandwagon because they haven't been able to before. They, like, Star Wars is a huge thing, and especially the nerd culture growing as it has. Like, it's an even bigger thing in the last, say, 5 years where, like, you know, people that used to love Star Wars wouldn't really talk about it publicly. Now it's a thing that, like, that hipsters sport on their fucking t-shirts. And it's become a lot more accepted. It's become the cool thing to do. And then, you know, George Lucas sold off at the right point where he's like, here, I'm going to give this shit to Disney. And then Disney has made it available to everybody possible. Like, everybody out there that just wants to buy a little bit of the chunk of the Star Wars thing and put it on their product can. And it's way overhyped now. Everybody's fucking doing it. And it's going to, like TSG said, it's saturating everything so much more in the last fucking year than I've ever seen before. It's getting to the point now where it's getting sickening. My kid wanted to go as fucking Vader for Halloween again, and I was just like, oh no, we're not going to do that.
Oh, that's hard. You're the worst dad ever. Let him live his fantasies,
yeah,
man.
You can't say no to letting your kid be Darth Vader.
He's already done
so
it.
So what? Like, dude, you can hate it, but let him choose what he wants. Are you going to make him be an Ewok and shit as punishment?
No, but then, well, then, like, it literally, he's still at that stage, though, where he's like, I want to be Darth Vader. I was like, yeah, maybe we're not going to do that this year. And then he's just like, oh, I want to be a skeleton. I'm like, yeah, I'm cool with that.
He just doesn't care. He's like, okay, I'll switch.
He didn't give a shit.
You could be right. You could be right. There is a theme park.
I really think that they are overblowing it to the point that, like, and maybe it's just this spike that's happening now, but, like, I feel like they're overblowing it to the point where, like, the kids that they're fucking pointing this at now, like like you said, the new generation of the Star Wars stuff, like the new cartoon and shit like that, and the new movies that are coming out, that's going to be fine, and then nobody's going to care about Star Wars in, like, fucking 3-4 years. They're just going to be over it.
I will take that bet. They made a whole fucking Star Wars land.
Yeah, and there's trilogies and other movies for, like, 10 years.
Yeah, making all these ancillary films, like the D23 convention that happened a few weeks ago was talking mad shit about all the Star Wars shit they're going to do. No, it's just really bad timing. Hopefully, who knows? Star Wars is the Bible. Like, it's just going to be fucking everywhere forever. You can't really prevent that from happening. I mean, it was blowing my mind that they were releasing the new one on Christmas, and I was already trying to make plans as to how I was going to get everyone I know to go see it.
18th now, baby.
And then they moved. Now they change it to a week before, and at first I was kind of pissed. And then I was like, you know what? First of all, that's really smart. We're going to let all the retail workers that would have to be cleaning up after my popcorn ejaculation to actually get the day off. So that's very nice on Christmas. And additionally, if you have it come out a week before Christmas, it also gives all these unfortunate parents 5 more shopping days to have to go get their kids all the shit they just saw in the movie that you made all the fucking toys
so
of.
Good. I can't wait. I'm excited. Give me more of it.
No, and like, but it's coming out the 18th, which is like the date that we have the surgery scheduled for Monroe. So I don't get to go see it on opening, which I still plan on doing anyway. But now I'm just getting to the point where, like, I'm all, I mean, there's that part of me that this is so ingrained in my fucking head. Like, it's Star Wars. I can't not go see it like the week it opens. I'm not going to go fucking camp out and watch it. But I can't not go see it the week it opens. But there's this little part of me, it's like, oh, dude, if this gets much worse in the next 2 months, then I might just say, get up, fuck it, I'll wait for it to come out on DVD.
Or fuck it on Hulu or Netflix. Oh, or
there's no because way you are.
I'm so inundated with Star Wars, and I love it. This is coming
wait
from
till
a guy
you hear how awesome the movie is. See, right now, yes, you're getting overblown with the message of it, but wait.
Yeah, same shit that happened during The Phantom Menace.
No, I don't know, man. The Phantom Menace hype was so high that no movie could have lived up to it. But I wasn't sick of it.
And tell me that this isn't fucking higher hype than
it's not.
Fucking
actually, I would agree
Menace.
It isn't. Dude,
really?
First movie
so, like,
in 20
years. They're building
years.
A theme park at Disneyland. They're doing a theme park.
You got the
they're,
park.
They're doing
you
a
got
fucking...
the park. I agree. But I'm just saying, like, that's, like, the future rollout of what they're doing.
There's coffee cups, pajamas, fucking, like, every brand out there is fucking just, like, just jerking off all over this thing. Like, I'm at the point where I'm sick of hearing this shit.
Well, you know what? Let's get back on the main road. I mean, we'll see if the movie...
I mean, that was a good Twitter question.
It wasn't
else.
Even a Twitter question.
That was the joke.
It was my
okay, here's a great lead out to that. Bruce says, what 80s or 90s movie do you think is underrated and more people should see? So Empire Strike Back, Kevin? Is that the movie one of them?
80s or 90s movie that is underrated.
I would say one of the best underrated movies is Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. A lot of people know Snatch, but not a lot of people know that one. And that one was fucking awesome. That was a really good one.
That was actually a really good movie.
That was probably one of Guy Ritchie's like finer days. I did end up seeing Secret Agent Man or whatever, or Man from U.N.C.L.E., which, oh man, that movie just let me down.
Man, I actually just saw The Kingsman, conversely. That was surprisingly good.
That was really good.
The Kingsman?
I saw
with
that
Samuel was... Jackson yeah, talking like movie. This? That yeah. movie was
made
fucking
your head,
trash.
Yeah.
No, that's the way
that
you talk.
Movie is garbage. The Kingsman?
It was. There wasn't exactly a plot to it at all, but no, it
can
was surprisingly
I, can I fuck you in the ass now? No, that is that's what he says in the movie to the girl after he. Oh, that movie is.
No, she openly says, "If you do that,
I'll let you fuck.
You can do it in the butt."
I was interpreting. And that wasn't an 80s or 90s movie. That was like...
No. I was just commenting in general about my life.
That's what we do here.
The Kingsman, my life.
Well, you all pretend.
I'm going to go The Legend of Billie Jean. That's one of my favorite movies from the 80s that isn't one of the like ones that everybody's heard of.
I've never heard of it. What is that? Like a documentary on Michael Jackson video?
No, it's a movie. It's an actual movie.
Okay. All right. Underrated.
Basically, like, so it's a very underrated movie. It was fucking huge in my fucking childhood because it was on HBO all the time when I was like 5. And I watched it over and over. But it's actually a really good movie. And that fucking the Pat Benatar song that I know you've heard before, Maddie. It's the Ballad of Billie Jean. I know you've heard that song before. That's
okay.
From that movie.
The Ballad of Billie Jean, all right. Noted. We'll look that one up.
Well, the song is called The Ballad of Billie Jean from Pat Benatar, but the movie's called The Legend of Billie Jean.
All right. Gumby, I know you are an aficionado of fine feature films. What do you got?
Not like our friend from film school.
I was waiting for
him to say Top Gun. I like Top Gun.
It's
completely overrated. If anything.
No.
Question.
Hey, you shut your fucking mouth.
Whoa. Top grossing film of 1986. Did you know that? Top grossing.
He did. Yeah, Kevy basically is he responsible for what? Like a 20 million of that?
Wow. You think Kevy has a lot of money to burn.
Lost revenue. 20 million in lost revenue. Alright, Gumby, what do you got for us? What movie is on your underrated list?
My movie that's rated on my
Speak correctly.
The movie that's written on my underwear is
my unrated movie.
You fucking fuck. You fucking.
Oh, something with Joe Pesci. Okay.
I would have to say Out Cold.
Out Cold. Wow, we're picking some obscure fucking movies.
Wow, that is
Out Cold's really good.
I love that. It's so good. It's one of the best comedies out there, and most people have never seen it.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
I would say it's up there with Super Troopers, and most people have never seen it.
Yeah. I'll agree with that 100%. Out Cold is a really good fucking movie. Like, not like a well-crafted, like, fucking, you know, Criterion Collection
it's
movie.
It's not good at all, but it's hilarious.
But neither's fucking Step Brothers, and that's one of the best movies that's ever happened.
All right. Good. I like it. TSG, what do you got for us, Mr. Film School?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I'm going to get all technical up on this business, I would probably say a film that I have referenced a lot in screenwriting classes is License to Drive.
Oh, my God, with Corey Feldman? Doesn't it have both Coreys in it? I think it does.
I don't even remember. I mean, it's got Heather Graham back when she was like 18.
License to Drive is one of my favorite movies of all time. I saw that. My parents took us to some fucking godforsaken wedding in like Windsor, Ontario somewhere, and it was on Super Channel, and I was watching it in the hotel room. Oh my God, the fucking movie was hilarious. Love that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, and it's a surprisingly well done film that no one, I mean, I think it's actually still on Netflix streaming. I know it's been on and off over the years. Or maybe it isn't. I don't know. I definitely tell people to watch it when it's like, this is a formula that works. It's not hard to set this up. You should do something like that for your weird teen sex romp.
Your weird teen sex romp.
Oh, if you want to talk like ultimate like teen movies, what was it called? Does anyone remember Gotcha?
Oh,
with the
God.
Russian chick? Oh my God, I don't know how many times I fucking took my dick out to that movie. I was like, what?
There's the quote right there.
Oh my God, that Russian chick was just like, oh my God!
It's like, fuck. It's like, they used to play paintball before paintball.
Oh my God, those guns? Oh fuck. Oh, that was awesome. What a movie. And then they brought the Russian spies back and they took them to the Mexican ghetto of LA and they all saw it.
Maddie. I will be fucking, like, mortally disappointed in you if you don't do the fucking, like, the theme from that movie, the Gotcha
song. I have it
song,
in my head.
Like, the
gotcha, 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 gotcha. Oh, dude, I know that.
No, you have to do that as the outro music. We will stop being friends if you don't find that.
I was going
to
get Pat Benatar, but now I'm getting Gotcha. Oh, my God, Gotcha's the fucking best.
She might have even sang that song. There's a good possibility. It was the 80s.
That's true. Oh, my God. We just stopped Twitter Home Watch fucking old 80s movies now. That's what we want to do. Okay.
That's what heavy meta's become. We're just all, oh, man, let's just watch the shit that we want to watch and fucking talk about it. We should just do, like, a side heavy meta podcast where it's just, like, DVD commentary.
Except for
watching movies.
If this show ever tanks, that's just what we're doing. Okay?
Yeah. It's just Mystery Science Theater, Heavy Meta SVU.
Essentially, Heavy Meta SVU DVD commentary tracks. Right, there you go. All right, we're moving on. Ed, Lurking Predator, asks us, how justified is the BFZ hate for how underpowered it is, for the flavor, etc.? Well, if you reference the first 20 minutes of this cast, Ed, you're probably going to get your answer on that one. So,
I
think we addressed it several times.
Yeah, pretty sure. I was just making sure the new guys get shouted here. Oh man, this is a good one. Mitchell Dietz with a Z. Dietz? Ditzy 3? I don't know.
Dietz?
I think just hearing Maddie try to pronounce your Twitter handle on the show.
D-I-3-T-Z?
Dietz? Is he German?
Dietz? He says, and then the weird fucking question, which one would you rather have, endless bottle of booze or zero recovery time to nut? First of all, okay, what? Like, what? So, like, boom, nut, then, like, boom, nut again? Or...
Yeah, the phrase recovery time is what makes it sound...
Or, like, Or it's not like I get stuck on, like, an endless oblivion ring loop of nutting. It's just like, oh, if I want to nut again...
Yeah, if you just go ahead and do it again. My initial was like, hey, I'm just gonna go with the endless supply of booze and have my own fucking refractory period. But then I realized, like, if you can fucking shoot on command, like, there's a lot of money in that, and you probably could just buy all the booze you want plus
go
a bunch
on the
other
financial
shit.
Route. Interesting.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one.
I was gonna say,
I'm gonna go point and click.
The way you live your life already feels like an endless stream of booze. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why you'd need to like make it official and kind of use up a genie wish there.
Yeah, but I also drink cheap vodka throughout the week. My shit's not that expensive anyway. I don't feel like I could capitalize so much on, you know,
what? I gotta interrupt you because you
an endless supply of booze is fine. I mean, that's great. Don't get me wrong. That's a good one. But if I gotta choose between that or just point and click, like I would just point and click, man. I could use that in the movies. I could use that in the bedroom. I could use that, like, you know, with my wife. I think that that's a
But how many times is she going to be like, okay, like, 50 is enough? Like, I feel like I could take one bottle.
It sounds like we're going to need a larger sample size. I don't think science has really delved into this question enough to
I feel like she could be like, oh, babe, like, you know, the bills are getting tight. Like, just hop down to the clinic.
Oh, my God, dude, and sell your body. Why don't you just take a bottle,
just
turn it upside down, and have it fill a billion bottles of fucking other booze and sell that shit? Instant billionaire? I think that's what I'm doing. Fuck that. And then with that money, I'm getting a robot penis that I can just like... Burp, burp, burp.
You know what? You know what? You've actually kind of figured that out. Like, if you just tap on the bottom of the bottle and it keeps coming out...
I don't need to tap, as long as it's not... I just turn it upside down.
It keeps going. Like, hey, you know what? I think you've outfoxed me. On the financial side of it. You have.
Because, like, in my way, I'm just letting a bottle do the work, and your way, you're, like, just stroking like a fucking madman for your money. Like,
That's the thing. I don't have to stroke like a madman. I just keep coming over and over again. Like, do you know, like, I don't know if you've ever done this before.
No, it says recovery. It says recovery. Not you can't shoot without stroking. It just says you... Read the question again.
Like, so... I got an instant recovery time, so I get to keep having orgasms over and over and over again.
I don't think it's like that. I don't think it's like an oblivion ring, like, brrr, you just, like, what, you just start coming and you just sit there and just keep going?
Where is this shit coming? Explain the physics. I've never oblivion ringed more than one target ever.
You've never oblivion ringed your own oblivion ring? Oh, man, you're missing out, dude. That's where you, like, jerk off and you jerk off in a circle, and then the next time you jerk off into the circle. It's hard because you got to keep her in the same position, but it works.
This is a deep question, though. Like, if you're, like, getting into the financial
side
of things.
I mean, how much,
like,
if you could endlessly nut inside someone, like, what happens is, like, she get, like, blah, like the Monty Python, like, where she's like, one more minute, sir. Like, what?
It's not like you have no control of it. Like, you can still put the bottle back up. Like, you know, it's not like you just, like, as soon as you finish, you're like, oh, I'm going again.
Well, that's what you like, just said. Like, how do you stop yourself?
No,
I just keep going. Let's do this.
No, you can if you want to. You can start firing them off into jars and selling fucking children to people that need sperm deposits.
See, now you just probably made more money because that's probably worth more per ounce. See, we answered this question before. So in the time it could take you to fill a bottle, what's that bottle worth?
See, no, that's the difference. Yeah, see, that's different, though, because you're also talking fatigue on the body.
That's
like, there's going to be a point
how
where,
much
like,
oysters are you eating?
Doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter how often, like, you can just reset it and, like, fucking just point and click again. Like, you know, at some point, you're going to be dehydrated. You're going to need to take a break. You're going to have to drink some water. You're going to have to eat something. And then, you're going to need sleep. Whereas, like, your magic bottle, you could just, like you said, just run it through a fucking system.
Yeah, turn
like,
it upside down, dude. There you go. Stick a hose on it.
And then show back up in the morning and watch the truck drive off with all that fucking vodka. And then, like, it's just like, ka-ching.
It's true.
And then, like, you just, you know, you go out there, you grab the bottle and just take a swig off of it because you can. Because you don't have to work in the morning. Because this is your job now. And... You know, you're like, ah, all right, I'll take a little swig off my infinite bottle, and then I'm going to turn it back upside down again and fill up another truck full of vodka and send it off to the vendors. And I think, Maddie, I think you broke the question. That's it.
All right, done. We got another question from Ditsy. Ditsy, he has a good one. He's like, everything smells like shit, or you smell heavily like vomit, but you don't notice. So... Oh, man, another one of these fucking, like, baby muffin questions, man. I don't know.
I mean, this isn't as interesting as baby muffin. This is something's going to smell awful. Do you want it to be you or the world?
I don't know. Like, how bad is the smell?
You get accustomed to this, man. This one's too
easy.
You can't walk around expecting to get a job smelling like vomit all the time, man. But if you smell shit long enough, you just don't smell it anymore.
But if you have the infinite bottle of
Trona,
vodka, you don't need
Trona proves right that the whole city can prove.
This theory has been tested. Yeah, with ARC survivors.
That's true. My sister does work with horses, and she doesn't care anymore. Hi.
Yeah. When you walk up to the horse pen, it's bad times. But if you work at the horse pen, you're like, yeah, it's par for the course.
All right, that's true, because I couldn't stand fucking smelling like vomit. That's gross. All right, we're going to move on, because he's got a good one now. This, Kevy, this is right up your alley. Question, if you were a serial killer, what trademark would you leave behind at the crime scene? I'm thinking it's going to be a heavy metal dildo. I don't know. No, yes.
It's an empty bottle of Kraken, probably.
It's obviously.
Oh, yeah, it's a picture of his own dick that he kills people. It's the Dick McKiller. but he has to leave it on their phone. That'd be awesome. Could you imagine that movie? That is an 80s comedy right there. Oh my god, we gotta catch the killer. Let's check his phone. Wait, there's no phones back in the 80s. Ah, fuck. Well, that's the end of that show.
What the fuck? Are we time travel killing people?
I don't know. Maddie went real deep on that super fast.
I went faster than I realized that the dick pic killer couldn't probably kill people in the 80s. He was probably killing the dick pic Polaroid killer. Where he just, you know, Polaroid his dick in them. And leave it there. I bet that's a real case. Actually, we should get JR to dig that up. He's got all obscure, weird killer shit. I bet there was a dick pic killer. That seems like something someone would do at a crime scene. Not that I have any experience.
Alright,
here we go. Let's move it up. Oh, here we go. Just call me Butch. Burn and Turnham asks us, what would you most like to OD on? Maple syrup? Crack and rum? Or vagina? Wow. OD?
Vagina? What the fuck? That's not a real question.
Sorry, it was Viagra. It was Viagra. Selected.
Oh, okay.
Oh!
Again, right. Dyslexia. I apologize.
Wait, what was it again?
What would you
again?
Like to OD on? Maple syrup, crack and rum, or Viagra? I keep seeing vagina, but I guess
it goes
either way. Actually, I kind of think you should have said vagina, because that would have been an interesting OD, you know?
I did say vagina.
If you had to OD... No.
Well, I want to know, like, scientifically,
yeah,
no, I want to know.
Yeah, no, be a vagina.
Would you?
I know I would.
Yeah.
They're not eating.
But you'd be dead.
Oh!
You'd be dead, dude.
No, I'm curious if the chemicals in Viagra work post-mortem.
Yes, they do.
Like,
post-mortem,
you know,
ejaculation.
You know, that whole, that whole erection that lasts more than 4 hours, say, you know, you pop a Viagra and half hour into it, you just off yourself because there's nothing to do with it. Does it still remain for three and a half hours? If I could OD on Viagra and just, like, and guarantee that I would have a raging boner at my funeral. Open casket.
Your funeral's a few hours after.
Yeah, we're that quick.
No.
We're not that organized.
See, here's the thing. Like, you know, it's like,
into the casket.
If you have an erection that lasts longer than 4 hours, call your doctor. I feel like if you OD on Viagra, that's going to be like a 2.5 week boner. If you don't die, if you die and the boner stays, like I'm all about ODing on Viagra just so that I can have an open casket with like. Like, imagine, you your normal funeral, like, people are sitting in the fucking, you know, in the pews, and you see your casket up there, and it's an open casket, so they get to walk up, and they get to look at you, like, all dressed up like a fucking clown. But all they can see from the bleachers, all they can see is a casket and a boner sticking out the top. I am more than willing to go out that way. That's going to be fucking hilarious. I also feel like if I ever write a will, there's going to be a clause in there that I am going to fight tooth and nail with my wife that, like,
we're going to use a wire coat hanger and we're going to mock up a boner so that everybody can see it from the stands while they're and I say stands, I mean, it's going to be at a stadium.
I mean, well, maybe there's a very large funeral home that could, you know, accommodate the vast fans. There has to be someone in the heavy metal SU that works in a mortuarium. We got to know. This is a question I'm curious.
At least a taxidermist.
Yeah. I mean, if you feed a bear Viagra and kill it, what happens?
I feel like instead of being buried in the ground, I'd rather just be stuffed and like mounted at the
cemetery. But if you're buried in the ground, your dick is sticking up, and they use that to put the tombstone on. There's a little hole in the bottom.
Like, I want to greet you at the gates. Everybody that's going to a funeral, I'm gonna greet you at the gates with a sweatpants boner.
At your own funeral? That'd be awesome.
No, everybody, like, that's the taxidermist thing. Gotcha. It's like, I need to be, so it's just there. I'm like a statue.
That's crazy. I'm going to just not even let anyone answer that question. Hollywood Mulroy says Patrick Kane, Bill Cosby, and Ben Roethlisberger walk into a bar. We didn't know what happens next, and we shouldn't speculate because you're a big fan. I feel that's a TSG question because it has a hockey player in it.
I didn't even really hear the whole thing.
Ben Roethlisberger is the quarterback.
Okay, so.
Ben Roethlisberger is the quarterback for the
Pittsburgh. Well, who's Patrick Kane? Isn't he a Blackhawks player?
No,
he's a Blackhawk. What's the deal with these people?
They all, like, I don't know about the other two, but Ben Roethlisberger is, has been accused of sexual assault.
It's a sexual assault joke. So they all walk in a bar. Alright, gotcha.
Troll. I see.
Big time troll. Nice one, Hollywood. We're skipping that question. here we go. Booze Cube, he's got us. He says, would you rather have a pet pterodactyl or the power of infinite burritos? Wow, I mean,
pterodactyl. Hands
easily
down.
Burritos.
Oh, what? What?
Easily. Pterodactyl. I just don't have the space for a pterodactyl.
What do you mean? He
I'm not really concerned about the, like, this is like,
it's like the Simpsons get the elephant shit man.
This is like Daenerys with her fucking dragons. Like, I could run around and fucking buy an army out just having a pterodactyl. Like, I feel like I could get all the burritos I want.
Yeah, I mean, I've got an endless liquor factory. I'm buying a fucking pterodactyl.
I could probably, if I have a pterodactyl as a pet, I could probably go to Chipotle and be like, I'll tell you what. I will sign a contract that says this is your mascot.
That's awesome. Put stickers on him and shit. Fine,
but this is your mascot, and I will exclusively only do Chipotle commercials with this pterodactyl, but I'm going to need a lifetime supply of burritos and soda, and then I win.
Could you see the commercial?
He even renegotiated. I like that.
We got Chipotle at the Mexican place. Pterodactyl. Oh, it'd be awesome.
And then all of a sudden, and it's like, it does its screamy thing, and then we're.
Then you can put like lasers and shit on it, and play the Captain Power theme in the background. What?
Yeah,
I love it. I don't know. I mean, David probably is gonna go with infinite burritos, but I'm not sure. David,
I don't know. What do you think? Pterodactyl burritos.
Oh God, I can't even really have burritos. So
that's right. He can't eat burritos. What if they're gluten free burritos?
And you could probably ride the pterodactyl anyway and then take like a live action photo of your token.
I could probably trade a certain number of burritos for an Uber ride.
On a pterodactyl. That's true. I don't know if I'd want to be that guy who picked you up and you're like, hey man, I don't got any cash on me. Do you accept infinite burritos? And they're just like, they're all lukewarm and shit and sitting in the front seat just stinking the joint up. Oh man.
No, like, I mean, if you got infinite burritos, I'm sure you could just get them.
No, the best part is he's sitting in the back seat, and he just every, like, 30 seconds reaches around and pulls a burrito out of his pocket. And he puts it in the front seat. And the guy's like, where the fuck are you getting these from? Tia's just like, hold on a minute. He just reaches around another burrito. It's a 20-minute taxi ride, and there's like 50 fucking burritos. Oh, infinite burritos. Absolutely.
Oh!
That's fun shit.
I got it. Right. Okay.
I found a Twitter hole question that I think will be fun for like where we're at right now.
where are we?
We're lost in the desert.
We're lost in the Twitter hole. But there are always those points where we're like, "Oh, that's a magic question. Fuck that. We don't even talk about that right now." Or there's like, "I don't understand what this means." But this one's pretty goddamn straightforward. Okay, Luke Narian, what do you find disgusting that everybody else seems okay with?
A guy fucking trying to pay for a taxi ride.
I'm gonna say the one thing I can think of, and I just read this, but like I'm gonna say gaps in the front teeth. I don't know why it fucking drives me nuts. It's nothing against the person, but like a gap in the front teeth drives me insane, and everybody else seems fine with it. It's like, oh, hey, they're a normal person, which they are, but they drive me insane.
I thought it was girls taking shits that you just couldn't accept.
Well, yeah, but most people don't accept that shit.
I'm pretty sure most people understand humans defecate, but okay, that's cool.
Fine. That's true too. Like I in my world, most people don't accept that.
in the middle of the crest, people just don't shit. They're too dehydrated. They're just, no, it doesn't happen.
Exactly. Way too much meth. Way too much dehydration. No pooping.
Oh man. All right. What?
But no, it's like, is there anything that you guys can think of that, like, just, you know, is a normal thing in society, but it just drives you off the fucking wall and you can't accept?
Oh man, the worst thing is people who don't know what they want to order, standing in line, and when they get there, they don't have their order ready. That is unacceptable. Ugh, we want to snap their fucking neck.
I thought Luke was talking about things that are gross. Or we find,
I find that gross.
I mean, I guess you can find that gross in society.
I find that disgustingly gross.
Yeah.
Lemonade drink at a restaurant that obviously comes from a cooler that has never been cleaned in its entire life. That, like, the constant flowing lemonade shit, like,
sorry,
stuff like that.
You know what I find unacceptable? Yeah. In Walmart, when someone opens a fucking Cheese Whiz jar and tastes it and puts it back on the shelf. That's gross. That was disgusting.
I feel like that.
Again, that's also generally not accepted.
I don't know. In that Walmart, it was.
In America, we don't walk around tasting our Cheese Whiz either.
I don't know, man. Maybe it's only in Walmart, which is like in some parts of the world recognized as its own country. Maybe that's. I'm not sure.
Yeah, where it's legal to fart on children.
Did you see that fucking? Okay, did that article make a fucking website? Like, I think someone ripped that article off. Yeah, I saw it. That entire story got ripped off from our episode and was sold to some other unbelievable stories as, like, real.
Or did Jay just fucking read that and bring it on?
He might have, but it feels like it was such a Jay story. Like, that was him. I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe he really did it. It got published and then he read it. I don't know. Who knows? You never know. It's the game, man, with freaking Michael Douglas.
Probably some bullshit news site that was trolling for hits. You know, that kind of shit's prevalent in today's media. They buy a story, change a story. I mean, their offices are probably located in some bullshit city. I don't know about you, Kevy.
They're in Ridgecrest.
I don't think there are news offices in Ridgecrest.
There are. It's my bar. And this is the news that you guys get from it.
You all sit around the Cracker Barrel and talk about what happened the day before.
No, basically, we just make up a bunch of shit on fucking Heavy Meta, and then the news sites troll our fucking podcast.
Oh my god, can you imagine if people got their news from this show? What the fuck?
Oh my god. Oof, like, we actually, like, the intro to this podcast, like, advocates that. Like, your source for news.
Yeah. The word news is used.
Yeah. We advocate
that. That's true.
That. And then we bash all over it during the podcast. Like, don't get your news from here. Don't come here if you're actually listening for magic news or advice or anything like that.
Comedy, you can come here for. That's, we're pretty sure that's an accurate description.
And
comedy. No, but if we were a news station and we were signing off, it would.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
sound something like that.
I mean,
I couldn't let...
I was gonna let the setup be good, too. I was like, oh, man.
And tried, too, but like, I've got this thing that just enters into the back of my brain. It's like, they're trying to set you up for this, and you're going to have to get off the fucking podcast at some point. So just do it on your own terms. Like, in the middle of talking, just start yelling.
Apparently we ended too soon, because there was one question I wanted to ask you guys, which is, what movie has the best set of tits in it, and whose are they? And I have the answer to this.
Definitively. Like, you've crunched the numbers?
I have definitely not crunched the numbers, but I have definitely tested the endless ejaculation theory.
Now let me ask, have any of you guys seen the movie Say It Isn't So?
No.
It's a Farrelly Brothers movie. It's got fucking, what's it, Chris Klein, the dude from American Pie, like fucking the lacrosse player that's all super sensitive and shit. He's like the main character in it. But if you haven't seen the movie, then you guys won't get the reference anyway. Best set of tits earlier on in the movie. It's a Farrelly Brothers movie, so they overdo some shit. And like the teenage girl at the table, and like they're all sitting around talking about it. That's why she's such a slut. She's all, I'm not a slut. She's all, I'm just sexually independent or some shit like that. Rips open her shirt at the dinner table, and she's got like three-foot breasts that have like damn near cowbells.
Oh, no.
Fucking ridiculous. But if you haven't seen the movie, it doesn't quite hold the same weight.
Oh, no.
So I was going to say those are the best hits in a movie, and David got it.
I was like, Say It Isn't So, that sounds familiar. And then you said, and they're around a kitchen table. And I was like, holy shit.
I mean, the best set of tits has got to be from Total Recall, because there was three of them. But that aside...
there was the easy setup.
That actually makes the best set.
But like, for real... For real tits, though, it is hands down. It's Trading Places. It's the scene where Jamie Lee Curtis... It's top.
Dude,
Jamie Lee Curtis in the 80s was hot. You can't. Come on.
Is that
a good O or is it bad O?
That's not a good O. Man, the 80s was a bad. That was a bad decade
for
chicks. There was like five hot chicks in the 80s.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Who else then?
No, the 80s. Oh, actually. They found a way girls. Like, attractive for the...
I can't believe you said Jamie Lee Curtis.
Man, I'm telling you, that chick looked good.
You take those New Balances right out of this room,
you son
sir.
Of a dirty whore. The hottest body, though, had to have been the chick in Sin City 1. The blonde chick that was a stripper? That was pretty hot.
Talking about...
Jessica Alba. Looked good. Watch it again in slow motion. But I don't think we saw her tits.
No, but somehow that also...
Okay,
come on, man. Talk about a film that is 100% airbrushed and digitally created. There's
nothing wrong with fake tits. It didn't say real.
No, but we're way off topic. I mean, again, like,
still,
I can't believe I'm
sitting
here.
Still attached to the actress that portrayed them is kind of a a thing there.
All right, so what is it, TSG? Because I know you probably have the answer.
I mean, I don't want to misspeak and say something awful like Jamie Lee Curtis.
Whore. You fucking whore destroyer. Come on, you can't go back and watch it. You know what it is? You're remembering Jamie Lee Curtis
from a later
movie. She was young.
No, it's probably...
Like Sophia Varga probably has never shown her tits, so that's not her.
Who is that again? That name
sounds
familiar.
Sophia Vargas? OJ from Modern Family.
Oh my god, that woman's so old.
She's got gorgeous tits. Woman is terrible. Oh my god, she's just terrible, but her tits aren't bad. Come on. You guys are so harsh, man. What do you want to pick some like 16-year-old chick?
I'm not a boob guy. I'm not a boob guy anyway, so it doesn't really, like, none of them stand out to me.
If you have to be critical about this, I think that if you're going to get a universal winner, from saying,
I hope
Denise Richards in 1998's Wild Things.
Denise Richards. Yeah. That's, yeah.
I'm going to say that's not what I was thinking, but
you're not going to be able to top that.
The Blue Lagoon. Oh. I don't know. Jeez, I don't know. This is so hard because I don't really remember Tiff.
I gotta get there. I'm almost there. I just gotta I can't remember her name. Hold on.
Well, sign off before you finish.
Just tell me the what's the movie?
I'm talking about Brooke.
No, Brooke, was she in the Blue Lagoon? Yeah, yeah, she was. Nah, her tits weren't big enough.
Phoebe Cates, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, cliche at best.
Yeah, but those were the best hits I can from a movie because I don't generally
those tits were good because they were in slow motion, so.
And they were also back in the day.
Yeah.
And they were good. Like, you know, what TSU is bringing up, like, you know, the 80s were a fucking a drought.
I mean, the best set of tits that you didn't see what they look like, probably Wonder Woman's. I don't know. Linda Carter, maybe?
I mean, when I was growing up, the film was almost better in the 80s if the woman in it was ugly.
What?
Like, the less attractive the woman was, the better. Like, Ghostbusters, amazing movie.
Eddie Red Potts
for the
so
Lost
hot.
Ark, amazing movie.
Kelly McGillis was fucking terrible, and Top Gun's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, she was not good. No, there was something about Annie Potts. I agree.
Oh, we still could go Carrie Fisher, Slave Leia.
I don't know. I think that Java suit was doing a lot of work. She had a nice ass. Lower body was good, but I don't know. I think the tits were just hanging out there.
I do remember seeing an interview where she was talking about how she felt sorry for the people behind her because that bikini was made out of metal, and so it just kind of showed everything. So she, like, in her words, felt sorry for the people behind her. I don't think she needed to feel any sort of sorry for the people behind her.
This is probably true. This is probably true.
Oh my God. I don't know. This is true. Just beware, not